with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Welcome to Wednesday. Welcome to Downhill to Friday, Hump Day. It's all of those things and so much more here on the Horn. But of course, you know that being the middle of the week, it being Wednesday, it being Hump Day, Downhill to Friday, all of those things, you know what else it is, don't you? Of course you do. That's right. That's right. Brethren and sistren, and I wasn't on the air last week because Wednesday was a travel day, as they say in baseball. I wasn't on the air Wednesday, but it's Wednesday, and I'm rat cheer, and glory, hallelujah. Yes, brethren and sistren, we are back for prayer meeting Wednesday. Glory, hallelujah. I hope you enjoyed your fried chicken dinner down there in the fellowship hall. You know, the deacon's sake, ain't nobody fried chicken like they do down in the basement of the fellowship hall. It was some kind of good. And the cake at the end, I hope you all didn't take too many slices. You know, one slice only, please. But at any rate, let's get the minister of music around here to get us started with our opening hymn, if you please, brother.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen.
Amen.
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around. And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
Ha! Shalmaneser, ting, sing, tang, walla walla, bing, bang. Ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ah, Mercy Dotes and Dozy Dotes and Little Lambsy Divey, I love you. Welcome, brethren and sisters, sinners all! Welcome to the Cathedral of Common Sense. Hallelujah, glory to God. Come on in. Come on in. Come past the vestibule. Get your program. Get your little offering envelope. Come on down that blood-red carpet and get on your knees at the altar in front of the server of common sense and lay your hands upon the subwoofer and feel them rays of reason just flowing through you. Glory, glory, glory. Ha! Yes! Oh, my gracious sakes, brethren and sistren, I have a treat for you this prayer meeting Wednesday. Yes, yes, yes. Don't be getting sleepy now. Don't be getting sleepy. I realize dinner down in the fellowship hall is mighty tasty. Oh, the gravy. The gravy is just wonderful. Truly, it is God's blessed gravy made by loving hands down in the fellowship hall. But we have a treat this evening. It is not just every day that pill-popping oxymoron, Dominican boy-banging right-wing gas-bag talk show hosts get out there and share their faith. Hallelujah, this is the night. Deacon David, down in Tennessee way, let me know that Brother Rush Limbaugh has been sharing his faith. He's been testifying, brethren and sistren. Yes, 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 yesterday on his very own drug-addled, gas-bagging radio program, Brother Flush Flimball shared his faith. Marriage-protecting, multi-divorced Flush Flimball sharing his faith. Hallelujah. Now get all settled in. Because it's not like every day you get this kind of testifying. Oh, no glory.
But I got to tell you something. It's a good thing this guy put it in. Does anybody seriously believe? I mean, I know a lot of you believe in creation. A lot of you believe in intelligent design. I happen to. And I happen to.
Hallelujah! He believes that Adam and Eve rode to Sunday school on the back of their pet dinosaur. Hallelujah! Oh, Rush, I didn't know. It is so affirming to have your faith on our side, glory.
To think that we are nothing intellectually compared to the Creator, to God. I simply cannot accept the fact.
Has Flush Flimball been listening to prayer meeting Wednesday? Did you hear him doing his take on me? Good. Flush, I am honored. I am honored, brother. I am stunned.
That we would be created to do things that would destroy our own environment, life-sustaining.
Oh, wait. Let's go back. I want to get all of this here, because I got a feeling he's going to be getting into some deep theology.
To God. I simply cannot accept the fact that we would be created to do things that would destroy our own environment, life-sustaining environment. The idea that carbon dioxide, which we exhale, and which, by the way, the more of it, the better for trees and plant life, the more of that, the better for them. And that, in turn, gives us even more oxygen. Everybody worried about global warming, deforestating the country and the world. The more CO2, the more the jungle loves it. The more your yard loves it. The more your garden loves it.
Yes, thank you to our fine friends over at Media Matters for America. That's MediaMatters.org. That's right, brethren and sisters. God created the heavens and the earth, and he made CO2 for you and me and you. Hallelujah, praise. Never mind the fact that, yes, indeed, the trees and the plants and the vegetation do exist in a symbiotic relationship with human oxygen breathers and other living creatures that are oxygen breathers, and the fish of the sea and so forth and so on, like the good book says. And we exist in a symbiotic relationship with those trees that are CO2 breathers. That's all very true, hallelujah, and I'm so glad that Brother Rush could bring it to the knuckle walking, mouth breathing freaks that he calls an audience, glory. But there's one little problem. That's a system that is supposed to work in harmony, and we have got it all unharmonious. We got it so unharmonious it almost sounds like the Methodists there two blocks away. You ever heard them singing? Oh, it's terrible. Put you off your lunch. because the Earth is able to deal with the CO2 inspiration and transpiration and the oxygen. But when you put a whole bunch more in, it's called overloading the system. Whether you're a dinosaur or a dumbass, Glory. That's all there is to it. Oh, you know what? I do. I just call me crazy, but I got to hear it again. I do. Tell us, Roger.
I got to tell you something. It's a good thing this guy put it in. Does anybody seriously believe? I mean, I know a lot of you believe in creation. A lot of you believe in intelligent design. I happen to. And I happen to think that we are...
But, you know, that's the problem, Flush. You're a walking, talking, jiggling, breathing, Oxycontin-eating, Dominican boy-banging argument against intelligent design. What kind of creator would let the likes of you exist, Flush? Out there abusing little Dominican boys. Abusing drugs. Abusing jet aircraft. Abusing everything you can set your chubby little sausage-like fingers on. How do you, Flush, fit into the whole grand scheme of intelligent design? Now, if the name of the theory was Doofus Dumbass Design, well, you're right there. You're the poster child for unintelligent design. But intelligent design? But wait. But see, this is the beautiful part. Tucked away in here, is a little bit of something or another, where he almost seems like he wants to talk about the nature of human
existence.
And I
happen to think that we are nothing intellectually compared to the Creator, to God.
Well, that's true. You are a dumbass. You are nothing. Yeah, but then again.
I simply cannot accept the fact that we would be created to do things that would destroy our own environment, life-sustaining environment. The idea...
Time? I cannot believe that we would be created to do things that would destroy our environment. There's a little bay over in Japan. And maybe it's a harbor. I'm not sure which. Just as I conjured him last night, maybe our buddy Robert in Kitakyushu can straighten me up, but I think it's Minamata Bay. Minamata Bay. And taking Flush for a moment at his word, and I can't imagine. We would be created to destroy our environment and make it unlivable, or you know whatever he was getting at. You have to, well. You have to take reality into account. And there in Japan, at Minamata Bay, a new disease was discovered some 40 years or so back. And they named it after the region. It's called Minamata disease. And Minamata disease is what you get when your body gets pumped chock-a-block full of mercury. And it just ruins the lives of anybody near it. There's a very, very famous photograph from back in the early 1970s by a photographer by the name of W. Eugene Smith. And it is called... And I'll have to find it. Well, never mind what it is called. It is a photograph of a Japanese mother giving a bath to her profoundly deformed baby girl. And it was the highlight. It really shone a light for the first time on what Minamata disease was. And heartbreaking photograph. Minamata City in Kumamoto Prefecture, and it first emerged in January of 1956. Chiso Corporation had been releasing vast amounts of methyl mercury in its industrial wastewater from its chemical factory between the years 1932 and 1968. Mercury, being mercury, then bioaccumulated in all the shellfish and the fish in Minamata Bay and the Shiranui Sea. The local population depended on that fruit de mer, if you will, for its diet, and they ate lots and lots of mercury. And the Chiso Corporation more or less knew what it was doing. As of March 2001, according to Wikipedia, there were 2,265 victims who had been officially recognized, 1,784 of whom had died. And that was... What did Flush say? I can't believe it. Well, let's go back. Let's just let Flush say it for himself.
To the Creator, to God, I simply cannot accept the fact that we would be created to do things that would destroy our own environment, life-sustaining environment. The idea that carbon dioxide, which we exhale, and which, by the way, the more of it, the better for...
Okay, he's only talking about carbon dioxide, then that lets the Creator out of the whole loop on methyl mercury and things like selenium and manganese and magnesium and aluminum and arsenic and... sure, okay, never mind Minamata disease. Three million people heard that yesterday. Many of whom were sitting there going, yep, no doubt about it. That's right. Well, CO2 has got to be good for us. They are on message, baby. They are on message. Absolutely astonishing. But not content, and let's go ahead and let guest pastor Flush go ahead and opine just a little bit more, because this is just too good to pass up. He also made some recent statements. You know, only 37% of women within a focus group had some sort of favorable opinion of this jiggling, drug-addled gas bag. And so Gretchen Carlson on Fox and Friends, oh, she's a piece of work, who went to Stanford and yet plays the ditzy blonde, yeah, that Gretchen Carlson, had Flush on the TV box where he talked about the women's.
So for those who were critics of you in judging this pageant and saying that you haven't been a supporter of women in the past.
I'm a huge supporter of women. What I'm not is a supporter of liberalism. Now, feminism is what I oppose, and feminism has led women astray.
Stupid women's been led astray by that feminism. Is he going to say feminazi? You going to say feminazi, Rush?
I love women. I don't know where this whole gets started. I love the women's movement, especially with walking behind it. This idea that I don't like women is absurd. And this is Miss America. And if there's a Mr. America out there, it's me.
Yeah, I love the women's movement, especially when walking behind it. Do you all understand, ladies? Do you understand your position in this world? And if you think for a minute that that's just Flush Flimball, no. That is the entire right-wing position on females. Get your asses out of the workforce. Get back in the house. Marry yourself some man. The Southern Baptist Convention says that if he happens to whip your ass every now and then, that's okay, too, because that probably means you started it. And you need to be good and submissive and, hit me again. I can put a little stank on it. Yeah. Get yourself good and pregnant. Take the shoes off. That's the right wing for you.
empowering women. God Almighty. And by the way, so that, you know, that's, that gets us started on prayer meeting for this evening. You know the phone number, by the way, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. On your nickel, if you want to save us a little cash, 304-658-3333. You know, a lot of people with cell plans have unlimited long distance, that kind of thing, or no charge long distance with their plan. So jump right in. Feel free. I wanted to share a little information with you. I put it up on my Facebook account. And by the way, if you haven't Facebook friended me, please feel free to do so. I accept all friend requests. And you can follow me on Twitter, too. Every now and then I have something trenchant to observe. I try not to put too much of the, oh, golly, I just had the best cup of cream of crab soup in the world kind of stuff up there. Use it for real communications where possible. Jump right in. But I wanted to share a little good news with you. I had a wonderful conversation this afternoon with the folks at Buzzflash. Had a telephone conversation this afternoon with Meg White, who is a writer there. And if you go to Buzzflash right now, you will find near the top of the page her article about the horn. And I think that is just a magnificent thing, because the whole purpose here is to expand the conversation and to have someone, to have a website with the gravitas and the outreach that Buzzflash has, to have an article about the horn up there is absolutely huge. And thanks also, to, Dardango at leftinalabama.com. I do. I love that website. Just the idea that there are a group of dedicated liberals and progressives in the state of Alabama who are out there refusing to cede an inch of ground to the right-wing monstrosity that holds sway over government there. I can't overestimate the importance of that kind of stick-to-itiveness and stick-togetherness. Because when they finally do fall flaming to the earth, the right-wingers will leave charred earth behind them, and there will have to be someone to step into the void and start making and start making a new tomorrow. And that's going to be hard-working, fearless liberals in places like Alabama. Thank you very kindly for the kind words there at leftinalabama.com, too. So that gets us off to the start of our prayer meeting Wednesday. Jump into the conversation as you see fit. We will go to the phones and see what's shaking. Hey, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Brother Bob.
Brother Luke, what's up?
Well, it's actually, I enjoyed the thing last night. It's like, yes, it's Peter Allen music all the time for the military now.
Oh, that's another, yeah, never mind the opening from, a chorus line. Yeah, they could go marching along and singing when my baby hoo-ah goes to Rio hoo-ah. Yeah,
well, you know, it's amazing, I'm hoping the of course our mainstream media will forget about it, but I want them to keep running those comments from showing John McCain and him 2-3 years ago saying we'll go along with the generals, then let's run Admiral Mullen, and now apparently Colin Powell's on board, and they're saying that's fine. Then they're sitting there going No. Just because it's on the paper, we can't do it. No, I'm sorry. Because, I mean, that was their cover last time, you know. Oh, we can't do it because the generals aren't in favor of it. You know, and now the military's going, okay. I mean, hey, we'll get
the
ex-cons in.
But like any good soldier, Bomber John McCain has himself a good fallback trench. Have you seen the latest?
Which one's this one now?
He is relying on... there it is. Yeah, McCain once said famously, "If the generals say they're for it, then I'll get behind it." Right?
Uh huh.
Well, now he's into that trench 20 yards back. My friends, my opinion is shaped by the view of the leaders of the military. The reason why I supported the policy to start with is because General Colin Powell, who was then the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, is the one that strongly recommended we adopt this policy in the Clinton administration. I've not heard General Powell or any of the other military leaders reverse their position. So until people who aren't in power anymore reverse themselves, John McCain's going to... No, we can't.
Supposedly Colin Powell now has reversed himself.
Well, that was what I thought.
So they're going, okay.
Well, but then he says, this is unique. These military leaders are responsible for the very lives of the men and women under their command, and that's why I'm especially guided to a large degree by their views, unless they happen to be views that I don't agree with because I'm a big old stinking pale pink homophobe. Oh, I'm sorry, I added that last part.
That's okay. Now, let's see, what else we got today? I got a whole bunch of stuff I've written all weekend, so let's see what we got. Oh, well, isn't it amazing how faux noise decides, well, we're not going to cover the president, we talked to the Democrats. So I see this weekend that apparently now faux noise and C-SPAN's going to carry it. Apparently MSNBC's going to carry Sister Sarah. Now, I'm just curious. Now, if all of a sudden everybody said, well, we'll just let faux noise handle it, no one else will cover it, could you imagine the screaming you'd hear?
Oh, it would be deafening. And you remind, you know, there's a potential parody out there for the filmmaking bunch. You remember the old Clint Eastwood Shirley MacLaine vehicle?
Oh, Sister Sarah, two mules for Sister Sarah.
Yeah, was it two mules or three?
I think it's two.
Well, okay, then we've got let's see, we got Newt Gingrich out there. He likes her a lot. We got Mike Huckabee out. Two fools for Sister Sarah.
Oh, coming up on that.
Or maybe Hannity and Hannity and Limbaugh, two fools for Sister Sarah.
Well, have you noticed, though, the thing that the one I enjoyed was watching this weekend? I watched it because I wanted to see it, was this week with Baba Wawa, and she had Roger Ailes on. And it was fun watching Roger Ailes rewrite history. You know, it was like, oh, Glenn Beck never said that about anybody. He was talking about Hitler and Stalin, and then I'm just sitting there going, boy, this would be fun if you had a regular news person in there who'd play the tape for him, you know. Where Glenn Beck said, progressives are leading you to the slaughter. You know, and it's like, you know, it'd be real nice if some of these news people would actually, you know, start playing the tapes and let everybody hear it. Yeah, so, you know, so there's no doubt about it. But, you know, I mean, it's like this other thing, the one I loved last night was I took enough medicine so I could turn over and watch the baby Jesus for a few minutes. We had Mr. O'Keefe on. And now apparently the new line about the Louisiana Watergate is, it was all a plot by the DOJ to trick them. And I'm just sitting there going, I want to see how the DOJ trick them to get into those telephone uniforms. I'm curious. Because that is a good trick.
That is a very good trick. And of course, you know, that nasty, sneaky DOJ out there just laying traps for good, godly, upstanding conservatives.
Well, the one I want somebody to ask O'Keefe is, did you think you were going to stand there in that office for 30, 45 minutes taking pictures to your camera, or your cell phone, and no one wasn't going to question what the hell you were doing there? You know, because he went in, when they were in, he was already filming.
Well, you know, they're right. Yeah, right. They're right-wingers, though, Luke. I mean, come on, you know, atne ute aitbre if you one what I mean may.
But you know what I mean? It's just sort of that you know, as we used to say, it's that thing where, I'm sorry, my two brain cells met. They had a discussion that said, your two brain cells are idiots, you know, because they're sitting there going, you know, you're going to stand there in a senator's office with your cell phone holding up there taking pictures. Don't think anybody's going to come over and ask what the hell you're up to.
Yeah, it doesn't exact, no. But again, these...
I know.
Not the sharpest knives in the drawer.
True enough. Let's see, what's the other one? Did you see that the San Francisco Commonwealth Club has postponed Mr. O'Keefe's speech to them?
Yes.
Canceled it. They just postponed it.
Right, even though he got out on bail. But, you know, I read that story, Luke, and I wondered, gee, could it be that there's a provision in his bail that says thou shalt not leave the state of Louisiana?
That's what I'm thinking. I would. And, you know, like I said,
he doesn't want to be up there talking to the Commonwealth Club of San Francisco and have Dog the Bounty Hunter, you know, just show up and rough him and cuff him and talk to him a little bit about Jesus.
Well, you know, it's like I said, I said to Zeta, it's like I said, there's so many fun questions that come out of this. You're just sitting there going, okay, the guy Flanagan lives in Louisiana. He had a reason to be there. I'm just curious how these other three guys got there, how they apparently all got together to work together. You know, there's a whole bunch of questions that I'd really love to hear the answers to, maybe from the DOJ, just just figure out what they've asked these people. I'm just wondering which one of them's going to flip first. Because you got to think one of them, when they're sitting there going, $250,000 in 10 years in a federal pokey. You know, one of them's got to break it. I figure it's going to be Flanagan because his dad's going to say, you know.
Or Flanagan. We still haven't sorted out.
I assume it's Flanagan, but I don't know how exactly it's pronounced.
Well, you know, it's why I'm losing.
Figure his dad beating on him with a stick.
It's why in Louisiana names it may be Flanage.
Oh, okay. But
see, that's that again, the serious lack of journalism here. I still haven't sorted out who Daddy is. Is Daddy one of those holdover U.S. attorneys that President Obama hasn't gotten around to getting rid of because he's scared to death of the right wing megaphone and all the media outlets that they control? Well, he's purging them just like George Bush did.
Because apparently the reason that they picked, I'm thinking that one of the reasons they picked Ms. Landrieu was apparently last summer she put up somebody to replace him. You know, that apparently has been held up, but apparently...
Right, because the motive that's been put out there by O'Keefe and whatnot until the lawyer said, hey, shut up, was we were just verifying whether her phone lines was jammed like she said they was.
Well, I enjoyed the thing that Oberman did the other night where he said, it jammed means they're busy, means they're talking to people. It's not like they're dead, you know. There's a difference. If they're jammed, that means they're talking to people. Oh, God, I tell you what. What was the other one? I had one other. Oh, why is, and I know nobody will mention this, but I'm just wondering when somebody's going to bring up the question asking, why are you at CBS going to run this commercial from this anti-abortion group the week after we just convicted a guy from an anti-abortion group of killing a doctor?
Yeah, let's get them whooped up some more. By all means.
But you know what I mean? It's something they need to slap CBS with. You know, here you are putting this stuff out the week after we just had a murder conviction in Kansas City.
But see, I'd be real happy if they would just follow through and do, you know, Gloria Allred put that out there about the fact that she would, you know, file a complaint with the FCC. But isn't that enough of a trigger to make anyone out there in the enterprising journalism community actually start asking some questions? Because even the phrase... Pam Tebow would not comment for this article says a boatload.
Oh yeah.
Because I submit to you, Luke, there isn't. We're talking here about an evangelical woman, okay? That means therefore that what she said is a lie, because that's what evangelicals do. They are serial liars because the truth means nothing to them because they just make it up as they go along. There was no doctor advising her to have an abortion.
Because, hey, he didn't want to go to jail for 6 years.
Right.
Because apparently in the Philippines, if you do one in the Philippines, the doctor and the patient both go to jail for 6 years.
And the statute's been on the books since 1930.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's one of those things. This is a story that you could tear apart about 6 seconds if you had somebody in the Philippines who'd go visit some people.
And the only thing that would make CBS News, or the only thing that would make CBS pull that ad, is if it was proven to be blatantly, patently untrue. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Luke, but doesn't CBS have this thing called a news division?
No.
And don't they have these things called reporters?
No.
Oh, wait, they only cover stories of missing white women and birthers.
This is true. Well, I mean, if you really want to see the shameful one this weekend, was I went over Crooks and Liars and saw the thing that apparently Mr. Schieffer had his closing comments on his Face the Nation. He was just sitting there singing the praises of Brother Scott up in Massachusetts. You know, it was just essentially saying, wasn't this a miracle?
Was Bob Schieffer having himself a little man crush on air?
Oh, yeah, he was. I mean, you know, it's one of the things. It's like, CBS, I understand if you want to keep him on a lot like Andy Rooney, you know, to come in and do the 5-minute crazy commentary, that's fine. But let somebody else.
Did you ever notice my eyebrow hair's really long?
They seem to meet in the center. I can't figure out why. Oh, well, one other quick thing. Have you also noticed how nobody in the main, other than MSNBC, is covering the fact that apparently this teabagger convention is coming unraveled at the center about this whole thing about, You know, you did. I wonder how many people realize that if you want to go hear Sister Sarah and go to the convention, it's only going to cost you, what, $600?
That's so a nice little layout.
Oh, I mean, you know, and it's like, it's still like $400 if you don't go to see Sister Sarah.
Man, she's getting a nice cut.
I was going to say.
I wonder if that's going to Sarah Pack or directly to Sarah.
I was going to say, David over Tennessee can probably get it better than I can. I'm curious if he'll start, if you'll have him monitor the local news, what they're covering on this. Because this has got to be a bit better than when the fair and the circus both come to town at the same time. Oh.
I got to think it will be fun.
Somebody be out there driving around, you know, the Barker out there on the back of his van. You know, come here, get your Sister Sarah collectibles. Come on in.
Oh, but by the way, she has said, I will not benefit financially from speaking at this event. You betcha.
Yeah, but it don't go to her. It goes to her pack, which amazingly enough somehow seems to circle back around and wind up back in her bank.
Right, they'll just sell some more books and wait a minute. Now, see, what you and I are doing here, Luke, is actually the kind of thing that happens in newsrooms that actually want to do news. This convention is in Nashville, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess this is a little bit Becky, but we'll forgive us, because if it works, sauce for the goose, sauce for the gander. Sarah Palin is going to a teabagger convention in Nash Vegas,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep, as we know.
$8,000 of the money that Sarah Pack paid out was for decorative bookmarks to accompany in...
Chattanooga or Nashville?
Nash Vegas.
Nash Vegas, okay, sorry.
You ever wonder? I mean, maybe there's no connection. Maybe there's no connection at all. But, you know, if they do bookmarks, they probably do all sorts of decorative party supplies and so forth. And
oh, I'm sure they'll be out there selling everything they got. I'm sure they've been working nights, printing them up and getting them ready to go.
I mean, they've even got a Madison Avenue firm hustling jewelry, tea party, tea bag and jewelry.
You know,
thing.
Oh, it's one of the things I may see if we get online and start watching the Nashville TV stations. Because, like I say, this has got to be better than the circus coming to town.
Yeah, right. And working with the analogy that Reverbo has put out there for us lately, there will be a bozo. There's going to be a bozo explosion in Nashville. And the shame of it is that Nashville has a nice base of good progressive liberal arts and arts community and musicians and so forth, and they're going to plop this moose shooting weirdo right down in the middle.
You know what that's going to be, don't you? Get set if you can't stand it. You're going to get to hear Lee Greenwood and Toby Keith, I'm sure, all weekend.
And guess who else lives there?
Which one?
Ray Stevens.
Oh.
Remember that We the People song?
Oh, yeah.
That's the darling anthem of the teabaggers.
You know, like I said, I think this is going to be the year of the teabaggers versus the GOP. And watch the GOP run and all of a sudden put on the other shirts, go, oh, we're teabaggers. We swear we are.
Well, you know, when you've got Flush Flimball out there referring to, remember when he used to call Bill Clinton Billy Blythe? Because that was Clinton's first last name before he was adopted by his mother's
stepfather. Yeah.
Yeah, by his stepfather. Had great fun with that. Well, while I was stopped in traffic last week, waiting for the wreck to be cleared from the snow-covered highway, I heard on that rerun that was available on three separate stations, I heard him referring to him as Barry Sotero. And don't think for an instant, I mean, it's disrespectful. Yeah, it's cheap and sleazy. It also sends a subtle coded message to his mouth-breathing, knuckle-walking followers that, you know, Barack Obama's not really Barack Obama. He's not really American. He's probably not really president. And, you know, why won't one of you heroic, patriotic, right-wing Americans just take care of business?
Well, you know, you saw the thing, where Miletus had that poll, and that was just, you know, you're just sitting there mouth dropping, and you're going, well, that shouldn't surprise me. where was it? So many of them wanted him impeached, but they couldn't tell you for what?
Presidenting while Negro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, one other thing, since you brought that up a minute ago, I also saw that the fat man apparently made some comment in the last day or so where he used the word retarded.
Oh, yes, he did. And
I wonder if Sister Sarah's going to ask for him to resign.
No, Sister Sarah won't do that. Because that was meant in a kinder, gentler, compassionate sort of way. Because when a right winger says it, it's just simply freighted with kindness and gentility and so forth. Yeah.
I know. Well, we'll see who all we get on the weekend shows this week. I'm just curious to see how much they cover Sister Sarah.
Mm.
Now, that's Saturday night, so Sunday morning they ought to be hot and ready to go.
Well, yeah, if they were real news programs, but there you go again.
Well, and we'll see. And like I say, we'll see who the lineup is. Should we start having a thing for Meet the Press? Is you know, sort of like Keith Olbermann. You know, it's been 692 days since the Democratic head of any part of the party's been allowed to be on Meet the Press or something.
I think a countdown would be effective. Yeah. Luke, good hearing from you, brother.
All right, bud. You have a good evening.
All right, later. Bye now. From the hills of East Tennessee, that's our buddy Luke, and onward we go. Hey, welcome to the program.
Bob.
Sandra.
Hey, listen, I know I usually call and launch into some sort of tirade or another, but before I do that, oh my God, I have to shout out to, is it Reverbo? That conversation yesterday when he said, oh, he's not an attractive man, I just about lost it. I was like, oh my God, about that chinless, it was just, anyway, that whole conversation was.
Yeah, Mitch McConnell.
Yeah, that whole conversation you had with him was hilarious, anyway. God damn. So just a shout out.
Yeah, but see that you know that's the beautiful thing about my life behind the microphone here. I get entertained too.
No, that was so entertaining.
Not an attractive man.
No, it's just like, oh my God, dear God, I thought, because it's so true. That guy is really, he was whacked by the ugly stick, you know? Jesus.
Oh. And you know, knocked his chin right off.
Shit, I mean, what is up with the chinless wonders, you know? And plus, him and his beard, you
well,
know?
I was going to say that, you know, when you ain't got a chin like that, you got to have a beard.
He got one, too. Oh, snap. I mean, he's God. See, I don't even care about talking about him this way because he's a god-awful person, you know what I mean?
Yeah, just a piss-poor example of a member of an attempted member of the human race.
Hideous. But, yeah, anyway, but that was very entertaining. Yeah, so
well, you know, when I heard him refer to trying Khalid Sheikh Mohammed as a show trial, I about ran off the road.
Oh, no.
You know, Chinless Mitch, you got a lot of room. You ain't got a hell of a lot of room to be talking about any show trials.
And no shows stick up at all. That shouldn't even factor into his repertoire. You're right about that. God, he's a horror show, that Mitch. I mean, I've always despised him, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, he made Bill Frist look good.
You know, and that's one of the downsides of following the various characters in that illiberal house called the Senate. There's some really unsavory people there, yeah.
Oh yeah, but what's funny is now you've got Glenn Beck out there openly referring to Lindsey Graham as Nancy Graham.
What?
I wish I was lying. But in the
in the
geographical space between Lexington, Virginia, and Beckley, West Virginia, it's the usual radio no man's land where it's your choice of six different the patently insane right wing gas bags on the radio dial, and I just landed on Beck, and I sat there and heard him refer to Lindsey Graham as Nancy Graham, no less than six times.
Okay, so. I mean, no, but his shit is it's been out. I mean, from what now he's being, I mean, it's just so now on the right-wing radio for all their Neanderthals to listen to, or what's that campaign about?
It's just another day down the rabbit hole with Alice.
Wow, because that's, I mean, because, and he's despicable, Graham, you know, it's just sort of the worst type of closeted, you know what I mean?
His closet has a glass door. I mean, it's the biggest open secret in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, no, definitely, but I mean, he's just...
But see, the sad thing is, you know, you and I, we believe in equity, and we believe in non-discrimination, and we espouse these things, and we're quite serious about them, and we don't hold one's sexuality against a person any more than their eye color, okay? But the right wing does, and Lindsey Graham cannot come out of the closet because, A, under Don't Ask, Don't Tell, they will drum his ass out of the Air Force, because remember, he's a judge advocate general judge. He's not just some schlub lawyer doing weekend warrior duty.
Right. Okay.
So he goes out on Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and he doesn't get to be a senator anymore.
So he just...
Because it's South Carolina.
So he just pretends, because his constituency is just that damn... I mean, the whole show is just revolting and insulting. I mean, I hear what you're saying, but... So he just sort of exists, like we all know what his deal is, but we don't know. Type of thing.
Right, and then I remember what Peter Godbold back on that Brave experiment that was Strictly Confidential used to say. There's Southern code for little gay boy when you're growing up down south, and Peter said, you know, I remember my teachers would say to my parents, "You have such a darling, sensitive son." Well, you know, that's the way it was for Lindsey Graham growing up, I imagine. People said, you know, he's a nice boy, and he's so sensitive. You know, sensitive means, you know, leaves a pink cloud behind him when he drives, as Peter used to say. And so the South puts up with, or not, but tolerates, the South tolerates the closet. As long as you don't get out there and just, you know, go skipping down the sidewalk with a rainbow wig on.
Right. Yeah. Well, no, he's just, yeah, but he is, you know, just horrible in his policies. I mean, it's just gross. I remember when he was a congressman, and I was kind of horrified when he became senator, you know?
Well, yeah, because we sat there and watched him as a member of the House, wasn't it,
yeah.
Along with that freak Asa Hutchinson, pillorying Bill Clinton over, you know, the Monica business. And you just knew, sitting there watching then Representative Graham, you just thought, you just said, you know, how do you sit here and say the things you're doing when you know that if your closet door got opened, they would burn, I don't know, they'd burn something in your yard at home in South Carolina, Lindsey.
Yeah,
if not you.
And it's just like you said, it's an open secret. I mean, I remember, I don't know if you ever listened to the show, but that Sam Cedar had his whole thing where anytime that man's name was mentioned, you hear this sort of closet door opening.
Yeah, I remember that. That was, yeah.
You know, it was just priceless. But really, it's incredible. If you're like, I don't know, over 40, you know, Lindsey Graham is just sort of a running joke, but he's still there, though.
Right, and it's because of that Southern code language. Another one, you know, when you're a little boy, you're sensitive, and when you're in your 30s and you still haven't had much luck getting married, then they say things like, "Well, he's a confirmed bachelor."
Oh, right.
Yeah,
you know,
confirmed by who? How? What was the initiation ceremony?
Right. No, that always kills me. A confirmed bachelor. Yeah. No, the language there. Come on.
Yeah, that's not his friend. That's his longtime companion.
And that. Oh God, no, not that long. Good Lord, no, just that term too. Shut up. Anyway, listen, Rush. God damn it, that was hilarious the way you opened up. What is going on with that fool? God, that was horrible to listen to.
Isn't it just? But you know what? For a not terrible, they don't do details on the right wing. They don't. They just say things and people, and because it is an essentially authoritarian movement, whoever they say it to just, you know, throws up a little Heil phlegm ball, and it, absolutely, Your Excellency Gaspagnus. They don't do nuance. They don't do detail. And that, I mean, because what Flush was saying about CO2 and stuff, that's straight out of the mouth of Marsha Blackburn, Michelle Bachmann.
Yeah, no, I mean, I was listening to that. I'm thinking, are we kidding with this whole, explanation? I couldn't even believe, and that was what, the other day?
Yeah.
I mean, it could have
that was yesterday.
It could have easily been 95. I mean, that was just incredible. And I really don't want to know about his...
Well, that's one of those Aristotle rolls in his grave moments, Sandra.
God. I don't want to know about his religious concerns either. That was also disturbing.
Well,
except for the God. God, that was funny.
God.
You know what? It's too random and too horrible.
Oh, that man is no more a man of faith than Ann Coulter's a woman.
It was just even the way it came. I mean, it sounded off coming out of his mouth. I don't believe that. You know, I believe he goes to that island and picks up, you know, underage boys. That's what I believe about him.
I with all my heart. You know, that's why you go on. Come on, it's an all boys weekend to the Dominican Republic. You're taking a fraudulent script in somebody else's name for Viagra, and you come back with a pill or two gone.
No, I mean, he's scum. You know what I mean? He's just horrible. But you're right that he can just say that, and his followers or whatever they are, you know, it's just not in agreement. And I think it's because, like you said.
Do you have the same mental image in your mind, Sandra, when you think about the average Limbaugh listener just kind of sitting there with his brow ridge sort of folding down over the top of his eyes and his little eyebrows kind of beetling in the middle and his mouth's open and he's breathing through his mouth and the drool's just kind of and when he nods like it's kind of like a collie dog or a Labrador retriever, really, you know, when they get frisky and the drool, or a bloodhound maybe, and the drool just sort of pockets in their jowls and then sort of dribbles out when they shake their heads. Yeah, that's what I get for a Limbaugh listener when I think of one.
Well, and also the whole idea that he still is able to retain the listeners, that's what is really disturbing to me, because it's like, okay, you check out these shows, you know, for a minute, you're like, maybe in the mid-90s, you know, he may have had a few funny moments, but you just sort of move on because, you know, and nowadays it's even worse since of the drug thing. He never makes any sense. He's a horrible racist, horrible misogynist. I mean, there's just nothing even...
But may I interject into your query the fact that Paul Harvey was many of the same things and he broadcast it up till the day he died in his 90s?
Okay, yeah, I guess that ends that little argument. I forgot about that freak who was what was he twiddling Hoover? I mean, what's happening?
Oh yeah, they were like picking out China patterns together or something.
That was so sick. You know, those letters is also...
But the funny part is that the memos in his file all start out with, please note that Paul Harvey is a mental case. He was discharged from the Navy on a Section 8, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
That's what was killing me. It's like they talked about the Edgar Hoover connection, but I was too busy laughing at the dude is not stable. And it's just sort of, ew. But then again...
Yeah.
Entertainment business. I mean, I don't really know.
I guess I don't either because.
But no, Paul Harvey. Yeah, please. Oh, I just hear it now. He did live a long time, huh?
Way too long. And,
my God.
And remember when he couldn't be there every day for his show? Who they got to fill in for him? Half Dead Fred Thompson.
No, I never knew that. What?
It was just awful.
That freak from Law and Order?
Dum-dum, yeah.
I never knew that, you know, because I would scurry to the radio trying to turn away when that Good Day shit came on. You know what I'm saying?
Good Day?
I was just like, oh, no, this is way up north, you know? Couldn't relate. You know?
Oh, I'm loving that. This was way up north. I'm hanging on to that one.
Oh, yeah, that's, yeah, I know, I got that from a cousin. But anyway,
sorry.
No, the other word for the day is Tebow. Lord, help me with this. This is something out of the pages of, you know, totalitarianism 101. Why are we being subjected to this bullshit and this kid being praised all over the world? What in the world is it? He's being praised for standing up against women's rights? Fuck him, you know?
Yeah, with a red hot poker. I couldn't agree more. And there's a certain beauty in all of this because I have, as you can imagine, I have acquaintances around here who are quite right wing. And I'm tempted just to go out and watch the Super Bowl at the beer joint, because the one thing we've got in common is that they may be right wing and I may be liberal, but we all of us hate Tim Tebow.
Oh,
so it's the one place where that commercial can come on, and we know that we will be guaranteed 30 seconds of top of the lungs swearing, and nobody will ever know what got said.
Oh God, yeah, no, it's just over the top, you know, the way the corporate media, it's just every sports writer, every sports commentator, you know, all they have is praise for this freak. And he's going to sit up there during, you know, my time when I want to have some enjoyment and watch a football game. I got to listen to this bitch talk about, horrible. And it's probably not even true from what I can tell.
And
made up shit.
That's the thing I've been hammering on for a couple of days. Where in the hell's the journal? Anybody's journalism department. I understand that Fox won't touch this with a 20-foot battle lance, but you know, for God's sakes, can anybody just get the refuse to comment line on the record? And she is, and her credibility is immediately called into question because she is offering this as fact.
No, and it's just like, you know, that whole story is being celebrated. We have to look at his big-ass head. It's just a whole spectacle for Super Bowl. That's what I mean. I don't know what this is and why CBS is, you know, taking the heat and still showing this. I mean, I thought these corporations weren't into the controversy. What happened to that?
Advertising dollars are down.
Okay.
And CBS wants the money, unless, of course, you happen to be a gay dating site with a parody ad of a couple of guys wearing NFL jerseys who begin madly necking when the team scores a touchdown. That still can't run on the Super Bowl.
No, but they'll show these chicks practically about to get gang raped with Dorito chips, so that's okay, right?
Or if there's a Paris Hilton, Carl's Jr. / Hardee's ad, it can run.
You know what I mean? I mean, give me
a second. No, I know exactly what you mean.
But no, but I mean, and that's offensive enough, you know, but whatever. But this here, though, with this freak who can't apparently catch a ball from center, but she saw that game he played recently, he looked like maybe he shouldn't have played. That's another story.
Oh, yeah.
And I hope whoever gave him that advice, they must don't like his ass because he looked like shit.
Well, I had reportage coming back at me from David in Tennessee letting me know that apparently during the practices for the games, you know, Timmy Tebow never took a snap under center.
Well, right.
It was all shotgun stuff where he just gently caught the football, but they made him take snaps under center, and like day after practice number one, he had a couple of fingers done turned black because he didn't know how to lock thumbs when he got, you know, when he got up there in the crouch, under the crouch. So that, you know, because you know, you got a kid there who really wants to make his you know, hey, I want to play center in the NFL. So boom, you know, that ball gets back there in a hurry, and Timmy didn't have his little thumbs locked up, and Timmy got hurt.
Well, it's just the whole thing just sounded like a joke, and yet they're still trying to spin this kid as I don't know what. You know, he had a great college career, I guess. Why don't they just leave it at that? Why do we need to see more of him? If he's not cut out to be an NFL player, isn't it time to say goodnight?
Well, it kind of is, but you got to remember, you've got to keep the image work out there, Sandra, because, and I know this may be a little inside baseball for some, The big draw for a long, long time on the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, the Promise Keepers, yada, 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 right-wing evangelical sports speaking tour rubber chicken affair circuit was Bobby Bowden. Now, as Bobby showed us during the last football season, he's slipping a little bit. So there's a slot to fill, and I submit to you that it will be filled by little Timmy Tebow.
Wait a minute, no, let's get back to Bowden. Listen, yo, that freak hung on. Did they have to say goodnight?
Oh, yeah, they yeah.
That was a spectacle for him trying to go, wasn't it?
And see, it was a year or two ago that Bobby came to Beckley to speak to the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And, you know, full page spread in the local birdcage liner, everything. And now, lo and behold, like I said the other night as I was driving through, there's the flashing light. Tim Tebow coming to Beckley. Well, that was, you know, 2 years ago, that was Bobby Bowden. So Timmy is being groomed for the circuit to, you know, get out there and play hard, but remember, you're playing for Jesus.
All right, so what, he's just going to become some sort of preacher?
Yeah, a hustler.
Yeah, okay, because, I mean, you know, well, this is a big stage in this Super Bowl.
There are little evangelical communities all over the country that will gladly pony up $50,000 or whatever for a motivational speech by Tim Tebow, Heisman Trophy winner and friend of Jesus.
Oh, my God, yeah. You know, what can I say? I sometimes just sort of wash that out of my mind about the
Yeah, this will also, and remember who the sponsor of this ad is.
Yeah, they can lay off everybody, though, but they came up with that money, huh?
Right, they came up with that in a hurry, and this is Timmy Tebow's entree into that world. Okay. And it is a lucrative world until such time as he gets caught, you know, snorting meth off the penis of some gay hooker.
Well, no, because, I mean, he came out talking about he was a virgin. I remember hearing that, and I thought, oh, dear God.
Well, and I'm sure he is when it comes to sex with women.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, so, you know, once again, you know, I may sound a bit homophobic, but that's too much for me right there.
Sorry. I mean, come on. You again, I was raised in the South, okay? And even though I myself am not gay, I am certainly gay friendly. I'm straight, but not narrow. And you know, I've got pretty well developed Southern gaydar.
Well, you know, I always
and I'm sorry, all the bells and whistles and sirens just every time I see Tim Tebow, ding 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 ding, closet case.
Yeah. Oh God. Oh, it's just horrible. I wasn't really too bothered. I mean, he was irritating to me just because of the whole circus around him. But now, with his, like, you know, doing this commercial, I'm like, you need to go away now, you know? Because there's no counter to this ad in any way, right?
Yeah, where, what? What's the contrary position? Pam Tebow should have had the abortion so that we could enjoy our damn Super Bowl? And then, you know, that's about where I am. I mean, I know it makes me sound really shallow, and I know a lot of people hate the sports talk, but this isn't sports talk. This is about, you know, they want Jesus in Christmas, and that's fine. It's Christmas. And, you know, Easter bunnies and crucified rabbits on Easter and shit like that. Fine, it's a religious holiday. But for all intents and purposes, 44 years ago, that would be XLIV. XLIV years ago, Sandra, we initiated a secular holiday on the last Sunday in January or the first Sunday in February, and we call it Super Bowl Sunday. And it is secular, and you know, a whole culture developed around it. And I don't feel like the religion industry has a right, you know, okay, we'll put Christ in Christmas if you'll keep Tebow out of the Super Bowl.
No, I agree. I mean, and I actually am looking forward to the Super Bowl because it might be a good one. But I'm not looking forward to this. This is just really irritating me because I'd already lined up the big screen that I was going to be watching it on. And now I got to be concerned with this fool? Ugh.
And it's it frankly diminishes the event.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's just sort of, it really does point to just the corporate media, though. I mean, just how, what a handle they have on content and stuff that we look at. It's stunning, really. I mean, because this shouldn't be happening. They should not be able to do this, you know?
I know.
I mean, because there's a, yeah, it's just, oh, anyway, I won't go on about it. It's just bugging me, though, and his face is bugging me, okay?
And is I black?
No.
And his 19 words plaque there on the Gator Walk.
Oh, geez, that's right. God, there's so many.
But you know, this is kind of fascinating, Sandra, from an anthropological standpoint, because this is how religions form. Because look, if you look back in ancient history, if you really wanted to be taken seriously as the new god on the block, you really needed something serious like a virgin birth. And so, consequently, a virgin birth myth builds up around Yeshua, the son of an itinerant day laborer from Nazareth, and his teen bride. So look here, it's 2010, and we've got a birth myth being propagated about Timmy Tebow. The Christ, and what it boils down to, and I haven't said this before, but what it boils down to is the Christization of Tim Tebow. You know, one of those eye black verses that he had toward the end of the season was a verse that said something like, "Be not afraid, for I have suffered all these things for you."
Oh, no way.
And I read that and I thought, you know, that sleazy little bastard thinks that's about him.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. Yeah, that's horrible. I mean, ew. And so basically you're saying that we have to look forward to possibly decades of this freak.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if Focus on the Family gives him the Tim Tebow Hour on the Focus on the Family radio network. And he'll do the rubber chicken circuit, and he'll make all kinds of little Christian girls wearing their purity rings swoon. And so somewhere down the road, he'll get Ted Haggarded.
Well, no, there was some ESPN woman writer who actually had the nerve to compare this freak to Muhammad Ali.
Oh, I know, Marty out there, not too far from where you are. Just sent me that column, and I just scanned it briefly. And, holy shit! Dave Zirin just took her to task.
Oh yeah, no, but it's just it's just horrific. It's like, are you kidding me with that? You know?
The pull quote from Jamel Hill's article. Dave Zirin writes, but Jamel Hill chose to take it to an entirely higher level. A level that deeply miseducates her readers and demands a response. She chose to write the following. And this is a scream. Anybody? Tebow's decision to appear in this ad should be considered just as courageous as Muhammad Ali's decision to not enter the draft, or Tommy Smith's and John Carlos's Black Power salute at the 1968 Summer Olympics. Huh? What?
No. No, but it's really scary because, you know, the historical amnesia. You know, people, oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, Muhammad Ali said, I ain't going to Vietnam because I ain't got no beef with the Vietnamese people. I mean, wasn't that?
Exactly.
And that was a stand of courage that cost him dearly.
And he also said, I don't have a beef with them. You know, he had more of a beef with the white people here. You know, something to that effect. No. He wouldn't. What he talked about cost him a lot.
Right, John Carlos and Tommy Smith, they were run out of track and field for merely raising their fist in Mexico City.
Oh, I'll never forget that mush. What's his name? He's still around. That broadcaster. Brent Musburger, whatever.
Oh yeah, Musburger. Yeah.
Him now and then. I'm like, you're still around, you racist pig. You see, because I remember he penned an op-ed, you know, sort of castigating those and really adding to their misery.
And so there was tremendous economic cost to Carlos and Smith. There was a humongous economic cost to Muhammad Ali. And yeah. Tim Tebow is going to get rich off this.
No, I know. I mean, it's just, yeah, it's sick. The comparison is, I mean, it's good that someone took that columnist to task, because that was way out of hand.
And Dave Zirin did it so well. I have so much respect for this guy. He says, "Dear Lord, Jamel, where do we begin to possibly begin to unpack this?"
I read that.
Tim Tebow is starring in a $2.8 million ad while being praised by sports writers, pundits, and politicians from coast to coast. In contrast, Muhammad Ali's decision to refuse the draft and say, "I ain't got no quarrel with them Viet Cong," resulted in getting stripped of his title, being abandoned by almost every significant person in his life, pushed to bankruptcy, and hit with a 5-year Leavenworth prison sentence, which included revoking his passport. The very same day of his conviction in federal court, the U.S. Congress voted 337-29 to extend the draft 4 more years. They knew how important Ali was, and the full weight of the federal government was hell-bent on breaking his will. As Jack Olson wrote years later in Sports Illustrated, the noise became a din, the drumbeats of a holy war. TV and radio commentators, little old ladies, bookmakers, and parish priests, armchair strategists at the Pentagon, and politicians all over the place joined in a crescendo of get Cassius, get Cassius, get Cassius.
Hey, wow.
And I get slow news day? Is that how Jamel Hill comes up with that stuff?
Yeah, it's as bad as that horrible Jason Whitlock. You know that writer?
Yeah.
No. Sorry.
Oh, is he waxing?
Well, he always uses failings of sort of black people to sort of paint a broad brush on all of us, and he gets a lot of play, you know.
Yeah. Well, anyway. this is just stunning. And the idea, but again, I would urge you, Sandra, to look at Tim Tebow through the lens of the making of a Messiah myth. Now, I'm not saying that 2,000 years from now there's going to be St. Peter's Basilica or St. Timmy's Basilica in Gainesville, Florida. But it is the same kind of myth making that goes into religious hagiography. It really, really is. So, it's another way to come at it.
Man, that's incredible. Well, I gotta let you go. I'm sitting here choking. Don't know what's going on.
Take care, Sandra.
Okay, bye.
All right, bye now. Astonishing. Let me do the next paragraph, too. I don't like to read to you guys, but this is too much. Dave Zirin also says, as for Tommy Smith and John Carlos, after their black-gloved salute, they were kicked out of Olympic Village with a firestorm waiting for them at home. They were pariahs, unable to find work and support their families. The Chicago Tribune called their act, quote, an embarrassment visited upon the country, contemptuous of the United States, and an insult to their countrymen, who would come home to be greeted as heroes by fellow extremists. And yes, Brent Mushberger called them a pair of dark-skinned stormtroopers. And that sorry bastard is still ruining football Saturdays for me in 2009. And 10, yeah, 10. As John Carlos said to me years later, according to Dave Zirin, today I don't feel embraced. I feel like a survivor, like I survived cancer. It's like if you're sick and no one wants to be around you, and when you're well, everyone who thought you would go down for good doesn't even want to make eye contact. It was almost like we were on a deserted island. That's where Tommy Smith and John Carlos were, but we survived. And then Dave Zirin closes saying this. But perhaps the most glaringly obvious difference is that Ali, Smith, and Carlos had to face the ugliest, most vile edge of racism, and not just in the press. Klansmen, Nazis, and all manner of lone nuts threatened their lives. Tim Tebow, in sharp contrast, has only burnished his credentials as a hero of both the sports media and the right wing, as well as cementing his relationship with Focus on the Family, an organization with access to the highest echelons of political power. The ensuing public appearance with Sarah Palin, I guarantee, will be coming to a city near you. Comparing the protracted struggle of Ali, Smith, and Carlos to Tim Tebow's Super Bowl ad is more than simply wrong. It's hyperbole on steroids, and it's beneath Ms. Hill. Ms. Ali might have said Jamel Hilla. This piece is more broken than Frasier in Manila. And as Ron in Raleigh also points out, he says, Ali actually said, no Viet Cong ever called me nigger. Pithy comment, says Ron in Raleigh. But seriously, look at this as myth making of a religious nature. Because this thing will catapult, if he so chooses, and up until he does get caught, snorting meth off another man's Johnson, this will, and after that, because he's a wing nut, he's a right wing piece of shit. He would be forgiven for it. Larry Craig, David Vitter, John Ensign, Mark Sanford. Oh, by the way, you know the reason Mark Sanford, as I was reminded by David in South Carolina, you know the reason that Mark Sanford was not impeached by the South Carolina legislature is because everybody in South Carolina also knows that Andre Stray Dog Bauer, remember him from a few nights back? The one that says, compared school children on a free lunch program to stray dogs who should be starved to death. Everybody in South Carolina also knows that Lieutenant Governor Bauer, who would have become governor had they impeached Mark Sanford, was sensitive too. Yeah, Southern politics. You gotta love it. Breathtaking. I didn't realize we were going to go Tebowing this evening. And by the way, that's what it will be called when he does get caught with the gay hooker, with the meth and the penis and everything. It'll be called Tebowing. I know Timmy's listening. God, how did Bob know? Tim, you know, you're going to have to get a little grizzled out there. Sorry, growing your stubble out and putting an extra hateful Bible verse on your eye black ain't going to cut it. But enough of that. Let's keep it rolling and go back to the phones.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Juanita.
I've never heard of that guy till y'all started talking about him.
Lucky you. But then again, Juanita. You're not glued to the television on football, college football Saturdays.
No, I'm into the professional. I'll be watching the, you have to give time to sports.
Yeah, please tell me you're rooting for the Saints.
Huh?
Please tell me you're rooting for the Saints.
I definitely am.
Okay. All is right with the world, Juanita.
Really?
Yeah, I couldn't.
Well,
I couldn't.
Because I think they have it coming, But I never heard of that guy, but I remember when they had the little fiasco thing with Janet, and I've watched her, but I missed the what happened. Blink my eyes.
Well, that's the whole thing. It took less time than an eye blink. Do you recall the fact that hell itself was unleashed on Janet Jackson while Justin Timberlake, nary a finger was laid on him.
Well, and in the same game they had. It was the guy that did the Bears, Mike Dikva.
Yeah.
He had an ad on there on that same game for Viagra. and then
I'd forgotten.
Yeah, and then they had another ad where a little boy was looking up a woman's skirt. But that was okay. I it's crazy. But, maybe him and Sarah, Sarah's Queen Esther, and I don't know what he's going to be. He's going to be some kind of great avatar or something,
Yeah. Really, that's the perfect word. He is, Tim Tebow will be an evangelical avatar.
I think that came up with a new phrase there.
That's it. I can't just leave you to your own designs because you do that all the time, Juanita.
Well, I mean, you added,
Well, I wanted to call up. I had a few little things to say. Well, speaking about Sarah, Ron about fell over himself, didn't he?
Well, yeah, but he said that, you know, back in August.
And it was about us.
Yeah, he wasn't talking. He wasn't talking about Sarah Palin's little baby calculus or sign,
I mean,
you know, sine or cosine.
If he'd fired, you know,
right.
I would have.
He was talking. You know, he was talking about hardcore.
But no, she had to accept his apology. She had to go and do that.
But she hasn't come out and called for an apology from Flush yet. And he did the same thing on
but
the air
like
just
you
today.
Said, yeah, like you said, you know, fine with.
Yeah, IOKIYAR. It's
right,
okay if you're a
fine.
Republican.
We're learning. We learned it. We thought it. And now we know it. I turned on C-SPAN today, and the first thing I saw, you know, was what's the guy's name that was investigating the cat that about the mail when Clinton was in office? Got the cat's mail?
Oh,
He's the one that, among other things, he's had a daughter by another woman or something.
Oh, John Frum? No.
John who?
No, or John, no.
No, it's kind of like Sandy Herod. He's got a very annoying voice, not like Jeff Sessions. He's got a different kind, like a twangy.
Oh, somebody will email me because I just can't make the connection right
well,
now.
Well, anyway, he was up there before Congress.
Oh, Ken Starr?
No.
No, okay.
No. This is a guy in Congress. No. Ken Starr and, what's the guy you call the chinless wonder?
Oh, Mitch McConnell.
Mitch, him, and they're definitely related. And also the guy that's head of the family, whatever they're calling it.
Oh, Focus on the Family?
Focus on the Family. Him and, they're all, to me, they're related.
I lose track after a while, too.
There's
obviously.
Somebody else, too, that's in that crowd. They're related. They favor. Oh, how could I forget? Rove.
Well, yeah. Carl.
I call them cousins or whatever. I've got montage of them. But anyway, then he was advocated, this guy that, I know you know who it is, but I cannot think of his name, but he says, he's advocating waterboarding. We're not getting enough information, you know.
Yeah, but obviously.
And they think
we've gone soft.
To use those kind of things. But I turned it, and then I turned back, and I saw Dippy Doodle Bachman. And she was talking about something about World War II, some where they sank. And there's these four chaplains that gave their life vests. They didn't have enough life vests, and they gave them to other soldiers. And they were joined hand in hand, and you know, till they whatever happened to them drowned or got eaten up by a shark. And they were praying for all the others. And she said, you know, it says greater love has no man that you lay down your life for those. Whatever. How did she pervert that? But anyway, and I thought, who are you going to lay your life down for in this day and time? But that's my word for her, Dippy Doodle. Not Dipsy Doodle, but Dippy Doodle. Bachman, you've heard of the Dippy Doodle, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
Well, she's a Dippy Doodle. And then somebody else got, I mean, every time I turned it, it was some. Oh, there was another Republican. I don't know who he was. But he was reading a poem that his 9-year-old grandson wrote about we the people. And, you know, I realized that they think they know what's best for us all, you know, whatever. And I had to turn that. I couldn't stand it any longer. But
it's been a tough TV day.
I know it. And then I kind of got provoked yesterday with,
Juanita, I can't imagine anybody provoking you.
Huh?
I can't imagine you getting provoked.
You say that now? Anyway, on The View. But why can't they just try those people in Guantanamo? You know, they don't want them in
New
York.
Who are they going to get for a jury?
Well, Joy Behar said, you know, people want to hear what, you know, they don't want something hidden. But they said, well, they can do that in Guantanamo. And the biggest one saying that was Whoopi. And I was thinking, girl, don't you know that they want to shut down Guantanamo? But they were saying, of course, Elizabeth had her little foray, and Joy told her to calm down. But she was, anyway, they were saying, you know, that they decided, after they were saying they were for it, they turned against it, you know, like John Kerry.
Right.
Against it, and then he was for it, or he was just for it, and then against it, whatever. And she said that, you know, nobody else was wanting them. You know, they could just, nobody's wanting them. And I don't believe that. I believe somebody would take them if they don't want them in New York. And I kind of understand that, because it was going to cost a lot of money for them to do it there.
But see, Juanita, there's no provision within the Constitution or the Bill of Rights that says that we will forestall or that we will forego justice if it proves to be too pricey.
Yeah.
And that's the sad fact of the matter. Sad or not, we and that's what the right wing doesn't understand. The idea of living in a free society carries a lot more costs than what they like to calculate. They think that the costs of living in a free society are having a big military and having the prayer in schools, and once we got that, we're all right. But it's democracy and so-called freedom is a messy, messy business. And, you know, sometimes criminals go free because the cops break the law, because there are things. But if I was defense counsel for Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the minute that the indictment was handed down, the first thing, I'd be in front of that judge saying, well, judge, you know, we got this little provision in the Constitution says my client's entitled to a speedy trial. Now, he was waterboarded three times a day for over a month, and that was years ago. There is no way that the trial that is about to be had of this man can be referred to as a speedy one. Hence, it will be an unconstitutional conviction.
If that's what you call speedy, I don't know what you call slow.
Because, you know, the framers put that in there simply to prevent an overreaching government from simply warehousing people that it decided it didn't like and sticking them. And it goes hand in hand with the constitutional right to a reasonable bail.
But they don't realize that if they can do, they do it to them, eventually they're going to do it to anybody. It don't have to be Muslim or whatever, you know.
No.
They'll do it to you or me or anybody. Right now, you know, there's a gun over our heads, you know, because, yeah, get rid of the liberals.
But exactly. And don't hesitate for a
and
minute
don't
to think
that,
that
it won't happen.
They would do it in a heartbeat, Juanita.
Yes, they would. Yes, they would. They wouldn't even give us a chance like Hitler gave the Jews.
And that ain't much chance.
And that's horrible. And they wouldn't.
They're highly motivated and highly armed, Juanita.
Mm-hmm.
And just like the story about the conviction of Scott Roeder,
I saw part of that trial.
Well, the right wing anti-abortion creeps are up in arms now, because they have decided that he didn't get a fair trial because he wasn't allowed to plead that he killed, you know, basically that he killed Dr. Tiller for Jesus.
Well, they let him, he testified, and they asked him, did he regret killing him, and he said no. Because they asked him if he killed him, and he said yes. And they asked him if he regretted it, and he said no. And I think they gave him plenty of opportunity to say quite a bit. And the guy sat there totally unemotional acting at his verdict, because a lot of the commentaries said that it looked like that's what he wanted, because he'll be a martyr. And he will be a martyr, him and Sarah and that football player, they can all go around and...
Well, you know, consider that one of the people observing the trial was that really sick, twisted freak, Randall Terry.
Oh, he was there spouting off of him. He was all for him, and he didn't like things.
And he said, "The blood of these babies slain by Tiller is crying for vengeance." They want, make no mistake about it, Juanita, they want more killing. They want more murder. They want more death in the name of life.
Oh, yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. And that Rush, him talking about religion, I've heard him talk about it before, and he gets so, it's comical. It's sad, but it's comical.
Hearing that man reference religion. Hearing that man reference religion or any kind of faith is enough to make me eat dirt and run rabbits.
Yeah, and him talking about the carbon dioxide.
Yeah.
Of course we need that. We need water, too, but we don't need to be drowned or waterboarded.
There you go.
We need fire, but we don't need to be set on fire. We need electric, but we don't
need
electrocuted.
That's right.
Everything's got yin and yang.
We need dirt, but we don't want to be buried in it.
And him, what did he say that he was sort of saying that he believed that there was a creator?
He outright said, "I believe in intelligent design."
Okay. And then he says he wouldn't believe that we were created to destroy things. And then he started talking about carbon dioxide. Doesn't he know that there is good and bad on this earth? And if he's a believer...
You know what? I would like to fill a room with nothing but carbon dioxide and lock Rush Limbaugh in it and let him figure out just how good it is.
Yeah. And him saying, if he's saying he's a believer, then he would believe that the fall of man, which there's good and evil in this world. You know, I'm saying if he believes that.
But he doesn't. He doesn't.
He don't.
You know what he believes? He believes that every week, 1/52nd of $40 million is going to be deposited in his bank account. That's what Rush Limbaugh believes.
Right. And then another thing, I got a couple, I'll just say a little something. I'm going to take a lot of time, but you were talking about Chambliss yesterday, and I think I sent you an email, and I didn't hear the last hour, so I don't know if you read it, but I said, where does he come off talking about Walt the Army needs? He was going on and on about Walt the Army needs when he was a draft avoider.
Yeah, he was a five-time defer. He was a five-deaf. He was just like five-deaf Dick. He had five deferments in college.
How things are. Where does he come off? What a jerk.
Yeah. No, back up. What a hypocrite. Because that's what he is. What a liar.
Yeah. And then I saw the Blair, some of Scottish judicial or whoever lawyers asking him about the war in Iraq. That was rather interesting. That was on Night Before Last on C-SPAN. And, of course, you know, everything, you know, everything. It just, everything was right about it. Oh, we made some mistakes, you know. It was the right thing to do, blah, blah, blah. And, of course, it wasn't like, you know, when they're in the parliament, it wasn't like shouting or anything. It was just all very cordial.
And ferocious, probably, at the same time.
Yeah, there was a woman on there. I think she's ready to go after him. So I'm sure there's going to be some more questioning. But then another thing I'm going to tell you, you know, the corporation, I have, you know, they're a person now, right?
Right.
And then they can give all their money to whoever they want to give it to, right?
Right.
But you know what they're asking for now?
What?
The right to get married.
Oh, my God. You mean like... Oh, we need a defense of marriage amendment to keep corporations from marrying other corporations. Absolutely, Juanita. By golly, it's a threat to traditional marriage.
I'm not original on that. I heard that, and I thought that was good.
Oh, that's brilliant.
But I always remember what Randy Rhodes used to say. She said, I believe they're a person when they have to have a pap smear or a mammogram
or a prostate check.
I mean, to me, that's just the most ridiculous thing to have them as people. That is so ridiculous.
Donna Edwards, congresswoman from Maryland, whom I had the privilege of talking with back in D.C. last week, she has introduced a constitutional amendment to fix that. And it made me proud of her. Good.
I hope it goes through.
The sad thing is, and this is why I've been an advocate for going ahead and impeaching Alito and Roberts for lying to Congress, and I really wish the idea would be taken up and carried forward. That constitutional amendment process, it has to pass by a three-quarters vote in both the House and the Senate.
Three-quarters?
Yeah. In both the House and the Senate.
That's like trying to get
that's just about impossible.
An amendment, yeah.
Well, it's a constitutional amendment. That's exactly what it is. So after it does that, there's a seven-year window for two-thirds of the states to ratify it. So that's 7 years, with all due respect to Congresswoman Edwards, that's 7 years that corporations have in which to further entrench themselves and make certain that, you know, that's three congressional election cycles that they have to pollute the well to make sure that that thing never passes. Well,
and, you know, the thing is that there's a lot of corporations that are wholly owned by foreign countries.
Yes.
Partially owned by foreign countries.
The one that comes to mind, the computer company Lenovo, which has its headquarters in the United States, is a wholly owned subsidiary of the Chinese Academy of Chinese Sciences or whatever.
Is that Big China?
Yeah, it used to be IBM's personal computer division, but it was sold off to the Chinese. And now they can. Citgo.
Wouldn't they have a hissy fit?
Saudi Aramco owns Houston Refining.
But wouldn't the Republicans have a hissy fit about the Venezuela president?
Well, I hope somebody tells Ugo that the door's wide open, because that's the only thing that'll make the right wing sit up and take notice of what the Supreme Court did.
I think if anybody will try it, he definitely will try it.
And you know how it works. If Hugo Chavez being Hugo Chavez, I'm sure that Citgo would put some money behind some liberal candidate somewhere, and then, by golly, you would hear Flush Flimball and Hannity and that whole filthy crowd. They might very well spontaneously combust on the air because we're being taken over by the communist Venezuelans.
And then, you know, then what would Alito's mouth? What would he mouth in?
Screwed up. Hey, Juanita, it's been a wonderful conversation. You have a great evening.
All right, you take care. And I got my package. And I thank you, Sonny.
Yes, Sundog in the chat room.
Okay.
All right.
You said Sunny. I don't know.
Yeah. But okay. in the chat room, Sundog.
Okie doke.
All right. You take care, Juanita. Glad you like it.
Thank you. It's very pretty.
Oh, good. Bye now.
Bye bye.
Juanita calling from Central Florida. Just a quick email response because Luke, in my conversation with him, Luke sort of conjured David in Tennessee, being as how the Teabagger Convention is going to be in Nashville. And David just filled in a few blanks. He said, the Teabagger confabulation is way too big for the locals to ignore the blow up of the Teabagger confab. Tons of coverage. Sarah's going to get 100 large for the speech. She says all the payment will be plowed back into the movement, says David. Meanwhile, Looney Tunes Michelle Bachman has bailed. Her bleach blonde counterpart, also with the initials MB, Marsha Blackburn, has bailed. And the Gaylord Opryland Hotel is getting a little nervous, you know, the fingers tapping on the desktop, a little nervous about the actual numbers of people who may come into the Gaylord Opryland Hotel. And then David adds, don't forget, some of the most vocal teabagger crowd, about 30% of them, want Sarah re-edumacated since she's going to be campaigning for Bomber John McCain in his Arizona race. And that is not ideologically pure in the teabagger camp, because in the teabagger camp, John McCain's a liberal. No, really. And just as an addendum, David reminds us that Flush recently took a dig at Barack Obama in his Las Vegas remarks, and along the way said, you do know that gambling is outlawed by the Quran. Jesus. And finally this, the obligatory Star Trek reference for the evening. David notes, I say yet again, Mitch McConnell and Odo from Star Trek have never been seen in the same room. Go to Google. Google them each and put the pictures side by side. I think there's a reason. Ooh. Just brr. And let's, with that having been... Ooh. Man, that's gonna creep my mental image machine out more than the image of Tim Tebow with some gay hooker and the meth and the. All right, onward we go. I think a couple of lines open, by the way, at 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4 head on your nickel, 304-658-3333. If you're new to the program, maybe you just read the wonderful new article over at buzzflash.com. Jump in. The conversation's fine. There's a chat room, too, by the way, if you didn't know. Head on radionetwork.com/chatroom. Registration's free and easy. And there's always a zany conversation going on there. Hop right in there as well. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello, Bob.
Hey, what's up, Garrett?
Oh, God. There's a Moran convention, and it's all over the state. It's all over. Everyone is freaking insane right now.
You talking about in Nevada?
Yes.
Oh, there's a bozo explosion?
Yes.
You know, the Horn toll-free number may wind up being the bozo explosion hotline. Sounds like you've got a report.
Oh, as you heard, Obama made his reference to blow... You know, how it's a bad idea to blow all of your money on Vegas and as opposed to paying for saving up for college. And, oh, my God. Oh, my God. The city, the whole state has gone insane.
Are they having a cross burning yet or anything, or acting like they want to?
If he crosses the state line, he probably will. Seriously.
You think maybe that creates a little bit of psychic space for Harry Reid to try to regain some poll support?
He's already blasted Obama. Every politician, practically. Every
Garrett, we may be into that Obama won Kenobi nine-dimensional chess now. Maybe that was all intentional.
Who knows? But seriously, everybody. First, Goodman, the mob mayor, because. As if you're not aware, he was, you know, a lawyer for the mob back in the casino days, you know.
Oh, was he a wartime consigliere?
He's never said it. I don't think it's officially come out, but he was a lawyer for. He represented somebody in the mob. I can't remember who.
Well, you know, there's Tom in The Godfather, and then there's the wartime consigliere and.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I don't know.
I don't.
Now I've got this vision. Now I've got this vision of the mayor of Vegas saying, oh, "It's time to go to the mattresses."
Yeah, but he's like, "I'm going to do everything in my power." He called this press conference, and
when he called the press conference, did he lead a horse up by the halter? You know, and I'm going to do everything in my power, and I'm sorry. I'm just working. I'm working the Godfather images way too hard here.
No, it was in his office. You know, his office isn't, you know, big enough for the horse.
True. Because we've all seen Animal House.
Yes. But yeah, oh my God, he went off. Ensign went off. Reed went off. Shelley Berkeley, who's a DLC piece of garbage, went off. Dina Titus went off. Our marvelous piece of garbage governor, Jim Gibbons, went off. I'm willing to.
Am I to understand that they're no longer in the business of taking people's money at the gaming tables in Vegas and everybody wins? I mean, what's their point, Garrett?
That's my problem. When I got home last night, nobody was in the house except for my cat. Because that's why I didn't listen to the program. I didn't hear what anyone said last night. But anyway, so I get in. And I, check, email and stuff like that, and I see that, I'm like, let's just say fun words went off. And I was just like, what, you can use your imagination. So allow that to cool off, see the good news that Up is up for Best Picture, even though it will never win. Okay, calm down, Then parents get home, and, of course it's the top story. And there's a thing, and it shows him, and the fun words show, Oscar Goodman, and it's like the fun words start flowing out, and I get scolded by my mother, seriously, for it. I was like, oh.
Mom.
Yeah, and it's like I didn't even, it's like because he's wrong because and it's like I read what he said. He. Come on. And even better is that I don't know if it was a conspiracy or not, but it seems like during Lost, the ABC either ABC affiliate or the local cable company, they seem to be sloppily replacing any of the PSAs that were airing during Lost, because you'd see, the last second of it, and one of them was the one that Michelle Obama has for whatever it is. But the last second of it is her. I'm like, okay, that's weird. But seriously, it's just craziness. Even though what he had a point. It's like not. I mean, the way I put it on my Facebook, if you have a problem, illegal, make gambling illegal. Chill.
No, we wouldn't want to do that.
Yeah, it's not like everything would die, the mortgage crisis is probably have that, do more of that. Besides, there's this thing. There's this thing called Nellis, Nellis Air Force Base. You ever hear of it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it employs a lot of people. Just saying. Although I heard from at least one person in the last couple of days, since I called last, that apparently they're hiring for the civilian types. They're hiring immigrant workers, because some older lady who'd had tons of DOD experience mentioned that she was doing an application at our crappy little Target. It was like try it out for have all this DOD experience, and it's like but they don't.
Yeah, wasn't the mayor's quote something along the lines of, "I'll do everything I can to kick his ass back to D.C. and watch his failure from there."
Yes, that's the exact quote. And this is a
just to square things up, Republican or Democrat, that mayor?
He's an independent.
Oh, okay, so he's a pissed off Republican.
No party. That's why he was the one was considered for a while. He anytime there's a he says he's the happiest he's got the best job in America, and la, 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 la.
And see, and it's probably not correct, and it wouldn't be the right move, but God, wouldn't you like to hear President Obama look at him and say, what are you going to do, put a horse's head in my bed?
It would be great.
Because that would sting.
Oh, yeah, because everybody knows. He even admits that he was a mob lawyer. He's not run away from that. Because it's just like, oh, my God. It's just, it hurts my brain even thinking about it. I mean, it's just like, it's painful. Just the
well, but then again, Garrett, by the same token, I got to tell you, it's somebody else getting some relief. You know, if it hadn't, and of course he referenced Vegas and not New Jersey, but if it had been New Jersey, it had been the same hissy.
The thing is, it would have been much less. I think the thing is that I don't think it would have gotten like any sort of national attention. I don't think that the AP wire would have picked up on it because it's popular to make fun of New Jersey.
It's easy on my Jersey listeners there, Garrett.
No offense to the New Jersey.
I know.
I'm just saying it's popular.
I know. It goes back to Thornton Wilder. There's a line in The Matchmaker, which became the basis for Hello, Dolly! And all of that stuff. But there's a line in The Matchmaker where Dolly says, oh, my, even the pigeons are leaving New Jersey. Yeah.
Of course.
So, yeah, that point well taken. And I, meanwhile, am being told that the mayor is apparently a pissed-off Democrat, not a pissed-off Republican. But then again, Democrat, Republican, nine times that. Most of the time, it's hard to tell anymore.
Yeah, but he's officially freaking, you know, he's officially independent. But he's anytime, like, for instance, when it was obvious that he's bandied about as the wild card. Is he going to enter? What party is he going to enter? It's like the whole, it's like he's the mayor of New York. It's like, is he going to enter the race as an independent, you know, sort of thing? Every time, a major race comes up, it, you know, like with Bloomberg. It's the same way. But it's just absolute, I mean, he's in the catbird seat because, you know, for some reason he's highly popular in the main part of Vegas, because I can't vote against the clown because I'm in North Las Vegas, you know, different municipality, you know, but pretty much everybody else that talk crap against him, except for Titus, I can not vote for. In fact, I happily not vote, did no vote, as opposed to vote for Shelley Berkeley, a Republican, because she is a DLCer.
Yeah, she voted for the Iraq occupation, as ELO noted in the chat room.
I just saw that from ELO. That's true. She's DLC. She's straight up been identified as DLC. I was like, I don't have any time for that. I mean, you know, it's just silliness, because you're using it for cheap political gain. I mean, you know, especially since three of the people going on it are wildly unpopular, and the other one is just, you know, and the best part is, think about it, Reed, what did he get blasted for not too long ago? Wonder?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Using the N-word that you can say on TV in reference to Obama. I mean, he's a total hypocrite.
and I say this with not as a smart ass or anything, Garrett, but, you know, surprise, 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 Sergeant Carter.
Yeah. I know. Yeah, it's true. It's what a shock.
Yeah, precisely.
It's just absolutely ridiculous. It's like, you know, that's like.
But it you know, if Harry can put some space out there, it may be the biggest act of kindness that Barack Obama has ever done him.
Yeah, but all it is just in service of the corporations that control everything in the state, the casinos. You know, when you get down to it, they have so much political power in the state, it's not even funny.
Yeah, and the mayor also called him a slow learner?
Yeah, that was, yeah, I noticed that. That seemed to be kind of coded, but, you know.
And no doubt that it was, but, you know, this guy was editor of the... But again, watch how the talking points manifest themselves in different ways coming out from a central theme. Flush Flembaugh, of course, accused Barack Obama of never having written his own articles at the Harvard Law Review.
Yeah.
And then and then here you go with the mayor of Lost Wages saying he's a slow learner. Do you see how their talking points manifest themselves over a very short, you know, God, it's almost instantaneous. You almost need some sort of time-lapse photography to really watch these things blossom out. You know, we had the example yesterday of, what was his name, Bob Marshall, that right-wing POS member of the Virginia State House, saying that health care was mobsterism. And then almost contemporaneously, 1,000 miles away or whatever, you've got Michelle Bachmann saying that there's a government list in Japan that they put you, I don't know, maybe they cut your pinky off too at the same time. Who knows? But there's a, you know, there's a list, and it's mob behavior. Healthcare is mob behavior. These things don't, this is not some sort of Jungian synchronicity, Garrett. This stuff is orchestrated. And you know what? Hillary Clinton wasn't insane years back when she said there was a vast right-wing conspiracy. There really, really is.
Is. Oh, of course. I just remembered I'm pretty sure it was Reid's campaign ad when he was running against Ensign in the Senate, the race where he barely beat Ensign. He had this because it was another one of those elections where the Yucca Mountain nuclear repository was a big deal. I'm almost certain it was Reid, but it was like they flagged a certain state you are near and dear to. West Virginia, he made a hillbilly, played him off as hillbilly.
Yeah.
In the bad way. Yeah, Reid did that. I think it was against Ensign. I remember that, too. And also, it's like, it's funny how, you know, I just wish somebody would bring, I certainly don't have it on tape anywhere that I'm aware of. I certainly wish that somebody would bring that back. I wish that we had enough of a left-wing media here in this city to bring and to pull up that.
Well, it kind of makes, makes you wish Doug Basham was still around, doesn't it?
I think last I heard, he was buying time on the station that he was on here in town. I think he was buying time. I don't know if he's still on or not.
Oh, I didn't know. I thought he had, but at least that's some form of liberal media in the Vegas area.
But then again, I mean, you'd have to be a pretty ballsy person to do it, because seriously, taking on the
horse's head race. Comment is not overplayed, I don't think.
No, not with Bergman. I mean, he has mob ties. He's admitted to it. He's like, yeah, so. I know. He totally yes sewed it when he first ran.
Yeah, what do you want to do about it, huh?
I mean, he. One New Year's Eve, he was on our local CBS affiliate talking about, you know, they were showing video of some moron. This was some moron, like, climbing one of the light poles, you know, just after it turned new at midnight. And it's like he made some offhand comments about how, you know, you almost hope that somebody, you know, falls and smacks on their head just to teach them a lesson. And the thing is that it was either the person that they were showing the video of or somebody else was getting into a light pole, and they got electrocuted and wham, right to the ground. I mean, Goodman has said so many stupid things. He too. I mean, and he's a total, he's totally ridiculous against homeless people in this town. You know, it's just amazing how much Goodman can't talk in this instance. That's why it just drives me even crazier. I mean,
I understand completely. Well, just, Garrett, by all means, do please keep us abreast of the situation as it develops. And
hopefully it will fade away quickly. But you know,
yeah, and somebody padlock the corrals out there.
Imagine though, if the city, the LV conventioners, the Vegas Convention and Visitors Authority tries to push it forward another Vegas commercial for the Super Bowl, you know, that'll rile them real up. That would be, actually, that'd be pretty good. That I'd almost endorse that just for how slimy and sleazy it is if the Convention and Visitors Authority tried to push through another, you know, Visit Vegas ad, because they're all basically the gambling. I mean, that's all they've ever hyped is the gambling.
Right.
I mean,
they tried that, you know, family-friendly stuff for a while, but really, once you get past the blackjack tables and the roulette wheels and the video poker machines, what's there?
Yeah, because
there's some nice restaurants, but that's sort of, and I don't mean to offend anybody out there, but it kind of pisses me off because, you know, after all, if I want a Maine lobster, I'll go to Maine to eat it. I don't want to go to Vegas to eat a lobster that's flown in on the vast amounts of fossil fuels, you know, every 24 hours. It just seems dumb. But then again, so does building, no offense, a city in the desert.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, you know, and just, you know, it's not something that can really get offended if you think about it. Because, I mean, all you need to do is go out at that dam that was, oh my God, built during that depression thing with that FDR socialist money.
Oops, you know, yeah, there's that.
And just look at the ever increasing, you know, the thick white lines that denote how far the water level has fallen. I mean, that was pretty blasted thick when I moved out here in 90. It's gotten even thicker in the 19 years since I moved here. I mean, you know, but
right.
Yet the city still is wasteful and horrible as ever. I mean, it's just...
There's one fact. It ain't sustainable.
Well, yeah, it was a boom, boom, boom all through the 90s, and look at where we're at now. Tourism is freaking terrible in this city right now. They're giving away...
But you know what the best thing about Vegas is? With any luck at all, the Horn team will be there in late July, roasting our butts off, but doing the Netroots Nation thing.
When is Netroots Nation this year, anyway?
You know, you'll have to check netrootsnation.org.
But it's third
week of July or something like that, you know, when it's 130 degrees in the shade.
Something, well, August is actually kind of worse than July, but yeah.
It's almost August, though, so.
Yeah. Yeah, because what I'm
But that's going to be several days of just backbreaking work, but it's going to be a hell of a good time, too, and I'm going to love the drive out.
But, yeah, I mean, it's just, well, yeah, especially given the route, trust me, given the route, depending on what route you take, you'll see a lot of pretty country. I mean, you'll cross through certainly some pretty flat and boring parts in the middle there, but
to me, never having been there, it won't be boring at all.
Yeah.
Because, see, I'm geeky.
Oh, yeah.
I'm geeky enough that no matter where I go through, I can almost always find out something that will either be useful to me in the present or will come useful to me later. It's a beautiful thing. Garrett, have a great evening, brother.
You too, Bob.
We'll talk soon.
Mm-hmm.
All right, bye.
Bye.
3 minutes past the beginning of the third hour of the program, and you know what? We're just going to roll right along, see what's going on. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello, Bob. How are you?
Hey, Matt Osborne. What's up, man?
Oh, just calling from South of Strange. Got a lot to talk about here today. So much going on all at once.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, what's at the top of your list?
At the top of my blog right now, there's the Illinois governor's race. I don't know if you've heard about this, but the incumbent governor, Democrat Pat Quinn, he's leading his primary opponent by a thin margin with a few thousand ballots left to count. But what's really interesting is that the GOP primary race is too close to call. It's like the spread between the top three of the four candidates is about 1,000 votes statewide. So basically what you're seeing is proof of what I've been saying since before Scott Brown won in Massachusetts, which is that these people are angry, but they really don't know how to express their anger. They're scared. They don't know who to turn to.
Yeah, basically they're Dr. Frankenstein's monster standing there pulling at the chains, yelling, fire bad.
Exactly.
Liberal bad. Healthcare bad. Sorry. Had to finish
I'm predicting that exit polls are going to show some similar results to Massachusetts. And you remember how the White House read the polling data completely differently from the Republicans. The Republicans think the only polling data that counts is the fact that their man won. But I got to tell you, all that Massachusetts proves to me is that if we send the worst possible candidate and they don't campaign until the last minute,
they
make
lose.
Every possible mistake along the way. Yeah, a teabagger with plenty of out-of-state money can beat them.
Yeah, well, yeah, and don't forget the part where the really horrible candidate runs over people getting up to the podium to concede before the ballots are even counted.
Well, there you go. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, the Illinois governor's race, I think, might be the stopgap in the whole Tea Party situation. You know, these things, they have...
But the thing's coming, but also, Matt, the thing looks like it's coming apart based on the email that I saw coming from David earlier. Marsha Blackburn has bailed on a teabagger convention in her, you know, home turf. Michelle Bachmann's not going to show up. But, you know, maybe that's just cattiness. Maybe they don't want to share the spotlight with Caribou Barbie.
Well, consider this, okay? I live 2 hours from Nashville.
That you do. Nice drive, isn't it?
It's a nice drive up Highway 43, and I'm considering going up there with my camera.
Oh, I think you should. And do stop for breakfast at Stan's there. The great breakfast at Stan's.
Oh, yeah. Got to have breakfast at Stan's. But I'm considering going up there with my camera to the Opryland Gaylord Hotel. Isn't that a great name of a hotel for a tea party? Gaylord?
Oh, isn't it?
I'm going to go up there, I think, and see if I can find anybody who'll talk to me on camera. Did you ever see the video that I did of the teabaggers at the Sarah Palin book signing in Birmingham?
Yes.
Yes. That's pretty classic. That quote in there with the I don't know if your viewers have seen this, but I happened to walk up with my camera and I asked these two people, there were just two people with signs, and I said, is it okay if I get you on camera? And they said, sure. And then they turned to this guy they were talking to, and I noticed he had a notepad, and he was taking notes. And I realized this guy's a reporter, and he's looking for a quote. And he's looking for a quote, and the woman starts to give him a quote, and this other woman starts jumping in with all this stuff. And it's just absolutely bizarre. It's like the death panel. The Mexicans are coming.
Mexican death panels.
You know, it just keeps coming. And the reporter, he's scribbling as hard as he can, says, okay, so death panels, and the woman starts to, you know, she stops and she corrects herself and she says, healthcare issues that are rapidly changing with the wind are death panels for women in America. What does that mean?
It was Brilligan the slidey tove did Geyer and Gimbel in the wave.
It's like this unintentional nonsense verse, this Dadaist genius. It's like somebody... If you showed it to somebody from, you know, the Dadaist movement in France.
Yeah, or Salvador Dali, melting courtesy phone. Salvador Dali, melting courtesy phone.
Right. And if they watched this video, they would say, aha, this is great Dadaist poetry. Because that's the only explanation. It doesn't make any other sense. But I wanted to talk about the reversal. I don't know if you've noticed this, but there's been a complete reversal between in the relationship of Republicans and the Pentagon. Have you been watching this? Don't ask, don't tell?
Well, kind of, yeah.
Okay, Mike Mullen, he's the highest-ranking person in the military, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Yesterday, he tells the Senate committee the Pentagon's going to spend the next year studying how to end this policy. Defense Secretary Robert Gates is sitting right next to him, says, this is exactly what we're doing. We're going to present you with a new policy. And what do the Republicans immediately do? These folks who always tell us that you can't second-guess the generals on the ground in wartime, what do they start to do?
They start second-guessing the generals?
Exactly. And you know, you have John McCain, who is basically arguing with himself now because he has been saying for years now that he will follow the military's lead on Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And he says this, and he says, I'm following the lead of Powell. Now Powell comes out today and says, we need to reverse Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Oopsie.
What has happened is that, and this trend has been going on since June, all right? This is a trend that has put the Republicans against the Pentagon. The optics are now completely different. The wedge is driven not between Democrats and the Pentagon, but between Republicans and the Pentagon. Republicans are now the party that doesn't trust the general. The optics of this are really interesting to me. And, you know, we all complain about how long it seems to take to make reform happen. And, yeah, a year seems like a long time until you realize that a 1 year is actually less time than most weapons procurement decisions take.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, look how long it took them to get the Osprey past the point that it killed the people who flew on it and into production.
Exactly. It's been in under development for, what, 20 years? So, yes, absolutely. Knowing the military culture the way I do, it's going to take at least a year for the Pentagon brass to come up with a new policy. And what has happened here is that instead of trying to change things by fiat, and that's where Clinton really went wrong. He didn't understand the way federalism works within the executive branch. What Obama has done is tell the Pentagon that we're going to change course on this policy, and you get the leadership involved. You have, instead of from the top down, from the president down, and being perceived as, okay, here's this new president, he just wants to change the rules, you have a different perception now. And as much as we like to complain about how slow reform seems to be and how Obama doesn't want confrontation, what you're looking at right now is a completely different complexion. If this keeps up, in a couple of years, the Republican Party is no longer going to be the party of national defense.
I'm trying to find a flaw in your reasoning, and I'm not.
See, here's the thing.
What you've got here, and I think this dovetails or sort of swings back around to your assertion about these little one-off elections, whether it's Massachusetts, Virginia, New Jersey, you know, that kind of thing. What it also says is that despite the fact that, oh, well, you know, we're resurgent, we're out of the wilderness, the Republican Party is doing everything in its power to make Eisenhower's prophecy come true. Back when Eisenhower said that, you know, any political party that advocated an end to Social Security would cease to be a national party almost overnight or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, that happened.
Yeah.
And if they lose the trust of the Pentagon, they're screwed. Now the only flaw I can see is that these are public pronouncements, and there is still a whole bunch of homophobic bullshit that lives deep in the bowels of the Pentagon, who are quietly saying, thank God the Republicans are standing up for us.
You know, you're always going to have that sort of thing, but that's not the policy.
No, it is not.
And if the Pentagon gets Congress to change that policy, to change the statute, then you have a permanent change in the military culture. Because you know what? when Truman integrated the armed forces, there were plenty of bigots in the armed forces among the brass. Plenty of them. But you know what? The military is very, very good about enforcing these kinds of changes. This is what people
They absolutely are. Integration was accomplished much more seamlessly in the military than it ever was in the society at large.
You're absolutely right. And prior to the civil rights era. So, yeah, you know, military culture is actually very good at some things. And what people don't realize, you know, I understand pacifism. I'm okay with pacifism. But what some people don't realize when you talk about military culture and Pentagon issues is that democracy was born in the cauldron of war. Democracy was born in the Greek phalanx. It was born in the Swiss pike square. It was born in the American musket line. That's where democracy comes from. That's its roots.
Well, yeah, the Greek form of democracy was literally born in the very serious upheavals of the Athenian people against one side of them were the Pisistratids. But it was born in serious upheaval against the massive landowning rich who were basically keeping everybody in a state of perpetual serfdom.
Right.
And there were assassinations, and there was like I said, lots of nastiness.
But what really happened in Athens is that you had the equestrian class, the landowning class, and you had a form of warfare developed, phalanx warfare, that required thousands of men lined up shoulder to shoulder.
But phalanx warfare really didn't come perfect until Alexander.
He perfected the phalanx, but the phalanx was in use for centuries before him.
The hoplite army.
Yeah, the hoplite army. And when you put a bunch of guys in an army and you say, okay, you're all going to take this equal risk, what they start demanding is equal reward. And I flash back to, again, the civil rights era and how integration happened in the military first. Who started the civil rights movement? It was black men coming out of the military, out of World War II, out of Korea, and saying, hey, I've come home and suddenly I no longer have the respect I used to command in uniform. I used to be somebody. I used to be a man. And now all of a sudden I'm no longer a hero. My awards no longer count for anything. That's where the civil rights movement got started. So, folks, you've got to remember that real social change actually starts in the military. Democracy actually starts in the military. This is what people forget, I think. But that's not what I actually called to tell you about. I wanted to ask you, have you seen the three great Alabama icons?
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure you had seen that. And for those of you listening who are unfamiliar with the Drive-By Truckers, they are the musical act that comes on at the end of this show.
Yeah, they're the closing music. Hell no, I ain't
happy.
They're
the closing music.
They're also the patron saint band of the horn.
That's right. They deserve to be, aren't they? They're the greatest band in the world.
There is not a day that I would not rather be at a Truckers show than any, you know, like the big U2 hoopla that went around the country. No, I'd rather be at a Truckers show.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Give me the Truckers any day. Well, I took two tracks from the Southern Rock Opera album, and I did a little 10-minute documentary, I guess, about George Wallace, which is up on my blog. If you go to osborneinc.com, I've got my YouTube videos on there, and it's the very top one. And there's something peculiar going on in Alabama. You know, our congressional delegation is probably the least important of any delegation in America.
Possibly the most dysfunctional.
And the most dysfunctional. I don't know if you've noticed, but Parker Griffith is having a really hard time because he's been almost...
That dumb bastard lost all his committee assignments.
Yes, he lost all his committee assignments, which was a surprise to him because he hadn't read the rules. And now he's a completely ineffective Republican. He hasn't been put on any new committees. He has nothing to show for his move. And the best part to me is that Huntsville just lost part of the Moon program. You know, as Obama...
Yeah, about $100 billion worth.
Right. Now, Obama did add more money to NASA. He's evidently changing strategies for NASA.
Yeah, he's following that school of thought that says unmanned exploration is much cheaper and in the long term garners more data.
You're absolutely right. So he's making that choice. Huntsville has lost out, and Parker Griffith can do nothing but whine. Because what has he done for Obama lately?
Changed parties?
Exactly. That was a Christmas present. We're still waiting for the Democrat to step up.
Well, you're running out of time, aren't you?
We're running out of time. We need a Democrat to step up and run.
What's the filing deadline down there?
I don't even know. I'll shoot you an email as soon as I find out.
It might be over.
I don't think so. I think we're still able to file because we still have people sniffing at it. But I'll find out and I'll let you know.
Okay.
But meanwhile, you have probably the most useless Democrat in the House of Representatives is leaving the House of Representatives. His name is Artur Davis. And
you know, he's shown real flashes of brilliance here and there.
Yes, and he is the first candidate I can remember in my time who has said we need state constitutional reform. We've got to get rid of this Jim Crow Constitution with its unbelievably regressive income tax. But your listeners may not know this, but our Alabama state income tax, millionaires pay an effective rate of 3%. The poorest Alabama residents pay an effective rate of 10%.
Yes.
A flat tax would actually be
and just to let folks Alabama outside Alabama know exactly how loony that is, early on, the governor of Alabama, a guy named Bob Riley, is a deacon in his Baptist church.
Yes.
A Sunday school teacher.
And
he proposed early on in his career, based on his understanding of the message of Jesus Christ, a reduction in the tax rate that the poor pay in Alabama. And it caused such a firestorm of controversy that all of his natural allies, the Alabama Farm Bureau and the Alabama insurance industry, everybody, all those right-wing horses-ass organizations lined up against him and attacked him as if he were some sort of liberal.
Yes. Yes, and what they did was they managed to convince
the poor people who were paying the 9% that they wanted to.
Yes.
I don't want to not pay no lower taxes. I'm poor, but I don't want to pay no lower taxes because it'd be communism.
They kept calling it a tax hike. That's what they did. They said, this will raise your taxes. Not true. It would raise taxes for about half of 1% of Alabama residents.
Yeah.
But not for the 99.5% of us at the bottom of the income scale.
But there was a whole advertising barrage that said, what was it? We have family values, and our family values tell us that you don't want no tax hike.
Now, do you know the latest about Alabama politics? Have you heard about the Gambling Commission?
Oh, God, no. This is going to be rich.
Okay. Your listeners need to know a little bit of background. There's a whole lot of background with the Mississippi Choctaw casinos and so forth, but Bob Riley has been taking campaign money from the Mississippi Choctaws for a long time.
Right, to keep gambling out of Alabama.
To keep gambling out of Alabama so that we have to drive to Mississippi to do our gambling. And here's the thing. Recently, the governor's, he has a commission on gambling whose job it is, they're appointed to keep gambling out of Alabama.
Right.
And bingo, electronic bingo. What the heck is wrong with bingo? Anyway, the chairman of this commission was recently caught with his pants down. He was going to Mississippi casinos and pocketing winnings.
Oh, what a delight.
There's a commercial running across the state from a constitutional reform outfit, which when I find a video, I'll be happy to send you a link.
Oh, do please.
It's pretty entertaining.
That sounds like something straight out of Casablanca. I am shocked to find out there is gambling. You're winning, sir.
And all of this is sort of prelude to explain to your listeners that Artur Davis is the first guy who ever got up there and said, I want constitutional reform. It looks like his Republican opponent is going to be Judge Roy Moore.
So this is a gubernatorial move.
This is a gubernatorial move. He's running for governor of Alabama.
Oh, my God, you're going to wind up with Roy Moore as governor.
Oh, no. No, 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 no. Artur Davis is leading the poll.
No.
Yes. He's consistently leading the polls right now, even over Roy Moore, badly over Roy Moore.
Well, now all we need is Roy Moore to go out there and start speaking in tongues or something. And believe me, he will.
Yes, he will. And he'll talk about, you know, the American Civil Liberties.
I'm proud to be an American Alabamian. I graduated from the West Point Military Academy in 1967.
Yeah.
And I served my country. Where was that Davis feller when I was fighting in the jungles of Vietnam?
You know what, Mr. Moore? I've been in the Army. And I've heard some of your former soldiers refer to you as Captain America, and when we grunts call you something like that, we're not being complimentary.
Yeah, because he served in the military police corps in Vietnam. He rounded up drunks.
Yes, and he was loathed. He was loathed by some of his soldiers. But here's the thing, Artur Davis is running for governor. He looks like he's going to win. He's going to change the state. He's going to be the most progressive thing that's happened to Alabama in a long time if that happens.
Oh, look,
in Washington.
I've still got ties down there. There are people who will emigrate to Mississippi to get away from the black man governor.
You know, there is that, and yet this guy leads the polls. You just mentioned the one thing that I have not said about this man. For your listeners who don't know, Artur Davis is black.
Black. Oh, it could be a beautiful thing.
What I think you can, and this is not an apology for Artur Davis. He's been so useless in Washington, but if you watch the video, the three great Alabama icons on my website, you're going to understand the context. Yes, he's been in Washington. He's been sort of putting his anti-federalist credentials to use now. Yes, he's going to come to Alabama. He's going to be all anti-federalist, and then you watch.
Well, you know what? You know what will be the defining moment for me with Artur Davis will be how he responds to what the hell's going on in Perry County.
Uh-huh.
The coal ash nightmare that's going on there. Where, you know, tons upon tons upon tons of highly concentrated toxic waste was dumped in landfills in Perry County that were not designed to hold such and are poisoning the community. You'll learn a lot about Artur Davis in how he comes down on that. If he comes down on the side of corporate polluters, he may be a Democrat, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he may be a Democrat, and we may have to hate to have to hold my nose while voting for him, but God, we need a change down here. You know, Left in Alabama is a good name for a website because I feel left behind sometimes.
I was looking at Left in Alabama's logo, at, you know, the banner on the top of the page.
Yeah.
And I just love it because that little arrow points right at home.
Yeah.
It comes up straight and it bends left and it's pointing right at the shoals.
Yeah, I need a Left in Alabama T-shirt to take Netroots Nation with me.
I need one too.
Oh, okay. Well,
I'll take a 2XL. You know, they shrink.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. They do shrink, unfortunately, because you know.
But didn't Dardango just do a beautiful job with that?
Oh yeah, he did. There are some really good work going on. Mooncat's been doing some really great work at that site on Parker Griffith. She's just been giving him hell.
I first learned about Left in Alabama by following, what's her name? She's sort of a libertarian, You know, ran for governor. Help me here. Oh, she's one of my friends. And I can't remember.
Right on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah, and but did such a great job on the whole. By the way, speaking of governor's races, where's your attorney general in all this? Shouldn't he be running for governor by now?
Well, in case you haven't heard, there's a little rumor flew around Montgomery that Mr. Troy King was a little bit limp-wristed himself.
Well, yes, as a matter of fact, I did heard. Maybe this is pre you, but there's never a bad time to haul this stuff out. Let me see if I can find this real quick.
Call it out.
Yeah, we are. No, I'm well familiar with Troy King, and it was this parody got some traction down there at one point in time. All I have to do is find the doggone. There's the file. Maybe it's in there. Please God, let it be in there. There it is. You got just a second, Matt?
Because I got time, then.
Maybe you never heard this. And just for background, Troy King is the Attorney General of Alabama, who, you know, sort of like what I was talking about with Tim Tebow earlier. He's all Christian and family values and stuff, but he may have a little man love problem. So this is
the guy who says that you can't own a vibrator.
Right, right. And he was behind that, and we wrote a parody about that too. That was called "Send Me a Dildo from Montgomery." Based on the great John Prine song "Angel from Montgomery." But this is a different one, and of course it's voiced by and performed by the inimitable John Fox, based on another classic standard from pop radio. I think you'll get a kick out of this.
My tail's for sale or rent. I'll let you use me till you're spent. No gall, no shame, no regrets.
You're not hearing this, Matt?
I'll even light your cigarettes. I've 2 hours of homosexual smuts. Keeps my closet door.
Better?
That's better, yeah.
Hypocrites, by all means. I'm Troy King and I'll blow. In a car or pulling a train. My marriage vows were taken in vain. No one shocked at the recent news. And my libido doesn't match my views. I'm wrong. With gay hookers I have found. I'm short, but not too big a. With no one's around to see my tales to see, Lorenz. I'll let you use me to your spends. No call, no shame, no regrets. I'll even light your cigarettes. I bought 2 hours of homosexual smuts. Keeps my closet door tightly shut. I'm a hypocrite by.
Classic.
How much? All night? You can't tell the wife. Some Troy King and I'll blow.
Bob?
Isn't John Fox just a genius?
Bob, is that an MP3?
Oh, it sure is.
Send it to me. I will make a video.
Oh, it's a video.
It is a video. Oh, okay.
But feel free to have a run at it, considering the election season being on us and all.
Oh, hell yeah. Well, Bob, I know you've probably got another caller waiting, and there's probably only about a half hour left in the show, but I just want to tell you that I think things are starting to look up. I think if we just cross our fingers and don't give up, we'll come out on the right end of this. I don't see the
Party lasting. I think that the Republicans' last hope is going to descend into self-parody during the course of this year.
I so hope you're right.
Well,
and they are coming unglued. Like I said, they're coming. I think the Nashville thing proves that they're coming unglued.
That's why I want to go to Nashville. I also want to find this shadow conference that's supposedly going on in Nashville, the real Tea Party. I want to go and meet those folks.
Oh, the more... Oh, no. There's a real Tea Party and there's a phony... Splitters!
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
People's like Front of Judea. Splitters! Yeah. Straight out of Life of Brian. See, one of these days I'm going to have a full production staff and I'll say Splitters and somebody will play that Life of Brian clip.
Do you want me to come up and be your production staff?
We'd have to figure out some way to, I don't know. I guess we could like put you a sleeping bag in the outbuilding or something. But yeah.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Man, and we'll pay you twice as much as everybody else with the horns getting, Matt.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Bob, I'm dead serious. If you want me to come up there and intern for a while, just let me know.
By God, we might do that sometime.
All right, man.
All right.
See you later.
All right, later, Matt.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Matt Osborne, the intrepid author of Osborne, Inc., O-S-B-O-R-N-E. There's an E in there. O-S-B-O-R-N-E-I-N-K.com. And making quite the little name for himself out there in the blogosphere and doing a hell of a good job at it, too. And gave me a pretty good excuse for going into the archives and pull it up. I'm Troy King and I'll blow. And I'll take any excuse to play that. Yeah, why not? And please don't have hung up. Oh, but you have. So the lines are open. Yeah, it's about 25 minutes before the hour. This has been an awesome little prayer meeting in the making, and it's been a lot of fun too. So just jump right in anytime if you want to get involved with the program. You know the number 877-443-2366. You know, I kind of wanted to give folks, maybe new listeners, a really, really good start and a really good sample of what it's like to spend an evening with the horn. And by golly, I think we've done that. And if you don't mind, again, I urge you to do like our pal and buddy Parson Brown did, and like Joe did, and run by buzzflash.com. And register up to comment and so forth. And by all means, comment and tell people just how much the horn means to you, assuming that it does. And I assume that it does because we've been at this for nearly 5 years in this iteration. Bob Kincaid, Last Man Standing in Liberal Radio Network Land is the title of the piece. Just comment on the piece at buzzflash.com and help us involve more people in the process. Get more folks involved in the discussion and the dialogue, debate. You know what? Here's my promise. If we ramp up the audience real big time, I'll go to 4 hours. If we get to the point where I've got six lines blinking all night long on a 3 hour show, I'll back it up to 5 p.m. and we'll have a 4 hour show. Does that work for you? My promise. Absolutely. And that'll help us bring other programs on the air as well. Back to the phones we go. Hey, welcome to the program.
You don't need to tell me twice when you say the lines are open, I go.
David is there. Are we on speed dial?
And, Bob, let me tell you something. Everybody calling, you will not beat this story. I have decimated you on the outrageous level. I am not making this up. I'm giving you a setup now, Bob. I'm not making this story up. It is not from The Onion. You can look it up right now, and it's real.
Torn from the pages of today's headlines.
And when I say, Bob, we've crossed another boundary and we can't go back, we're not going back, people. Albert, we're not going back. It's done. We're there. And the fact that it's out there, and the fact that this is in the news, and the fact that people, when they thought of this idea, when these people thought of this idea, and they thought, what a great idea! What a great idea this is! Let's go for it! Bob, I'm sure you're familiar with, and I hate saying the name, but...
But you're gonna do it to me anyway.
But I'm gonna do it to you anyways. you're aware of Miley Cyrus.
Yes.
Well,
I don't like where this is going, David.
I know, but this has a point. This has a point of how lost. I remember, and Matt, this is why I'm on. Why I disagree with you completely about the direction of this country. When I see stories like this, and when I see pretty much everyone around me in that type of atmosphere and zone, I think of celebritism as a cancer. It's a stealth cancer, people. You don't know what's eating you until you're gone from it. But apparently, Miley's sister has a kid's lingerie designer label.
Oh, stop.
I am not kidding you. I am telling you the God honest truth.
There's Hannah Montana. Are you telling me there are Hannah Montana thongs out there?
And it's worse than that, Bob. There's actually a photo, and I'm not going to describe it too much because the feds will come knocking on my door. It's not that bad. But there's actually a photo with some kids on a stripper pole. Now,
you know, the other night I said, wow, yeah. And do I feel shallow even mentioning this?
Yes.
I happened to see the celebrity Twitter photos that Snooki, is that her name, Snooki from the Jersey Shore,
yes,
took with folks at the Grammys or whatnot.
You know the names. That's scary.
I only know from Snooki.
Okay.
Because she's like the Oompa Loompa one.
Okay, okay.
I mean, she's about the size of an Oompa Loompa.
All right.
She's not orange yet. That's John Boner's job.
The John Boner type reference. Do you know the name that Stephen Colbert calls John Boner?
No.
The Yellow Teletubby.
There you go. And I thought old Pumpkin Face was good.
Well, there
but that's
you go.
But you know that's why Stephen Colbert, Stephen Colbert, and I'm lowly little me.
Well, you have some classic ones that you need to put in a book, but that's neither here or there.
But no, anyway, I just knew it was going to be bad when, because one of Snooki's celebrity photos was with Miley Cyrus.
Yeah.
And, you know, she was tweeting stuff like, oh my God, I can't believe where I am.
Yeah.
I'm at the Grammys.
Uh-huh. That's a great place to be at.
Oh, I'm so never going to watch that show, but I'm ashamed of myself for being even that plugged into celebrity pop culture that I know who Snooki is.
Well, you know what? Let's remember one thing about the Grammys. They didn't give the I can't believe this, and this is true, people. They didn't give a Grammy to What's Going On. I mean, good Lord. Pack your bags up and leave. You're no longer accepted.
Yeah, but you know the Grammy's
What's
a kiss.
What's going on? Did not get a Grammy.
But in many ways, the Grammy is a kiss of death, especially if it's who got best new artist.
Well, you know what? I will say this before I get back to the story. I don't know who got best new artist, but I do know who got a best new rap album or best rap album of the year. And it was Eminem. And my comment about that was, well, I think the only reason Eminem got it, beside the fact that he was a white rapper, was also the fact that Jimmy Iovine was given the side eye to the Grammy committee. That's my personal opinion, because I listened to the album. There's no way. None. And I'm an Eminem listener. I don't go crazy over his albums or anything like that, but there's no way. And that's when you know.
Yeah, Marshall Mathers, it wasn't.
I know, that's when you know the playing field is a bit rigged.
But, I mean, remember when Tracy Chapman got Best New Artist? Gone. Nora Jones, Best New Artist. Never heard from again.
Yeah.
I mean, the only place you hear Nora Jones now is when you go into Starbucks.
Yeah.
But
well, getting back to this story.
Yeah, the real story.
The designer line is actually called Ouvra La Couture.
You're going to have to spell that because I'm Googling now.
Oh, well, you know what? If you just type in
Miley Cyrus lingerie.
Miley Cyrus' sister lingerie. Now, if you type that, you might get some authorities at your door. If you type in Miley Cyrus' sister clothing line or something like that, you'll get...
Oh, my God, Becky.
See, here's the problem with
this. Okay, I got the story here from the Vancouver Sun.
Yeah.
Miley Cyrus's little sister, the new face of Kitty Lingerie line.
See, this is insane. This is that's why I said this is past the level of insane. When I saw the headline, I said, I am going to look for an onion link. I am going to look for Photoshop. Because...
No, it's real.
When you put together a company like that...
Oh, but the photo I'm looking at here, little Noah Cyrus is giving the peace sign.
Yes. Now, here's the thing about it. When my friend put that story up on his Facebook, and he actually got people telling him not to talk about that story. And this kind of goes back to what I was telling you about how this works in the entertainment industry. This is a really touchy issue, and they don't want to talk about the underlying Lolita level in here that's being pushed in the same way that it's being overly pushed in, and I'm sure Robert can tell us about this, in Japan to new levels. It seems like we're crossing that boundary even further. We're going where Japan is going now, it looks like.
Oh, by the way, sales of the lingerie will benefit. Yeah, you think I'm kidding.
Yeah, I know where you're going with this.
Will benefit Emily Grace Reeves, who is the other side of this duo.
Yeah.
Emily Grace Reeves charity, Lollipops and Rainbows. Yeah, Kitty Lingerie,
that is
the proceeds of which benefits Lollipops and Rainbows. All we need is a naked man in a trench coat, and the deal is done.
And we need... a Mark Foley photo op.
Jesus. And then this photo. Oh, wait. I got another sign of the apocalypse.
Yes.
In this photo of little Noah Cyrus and Emily Grace Reeves, little Noah Cyrus, I assume that's the one on the left.
Yeah.
I just do, is wearing a Ramones t-shirt. I kid you not.
Now, here's the thing.
No. The dead Ramones are going to rise up out of the dirt at this. They are now 9-year-old kitty fashion.
Well, at least
no wonder Tony Bourdain got rid of his Ramones t-shirt.
At least they have taste and they're not wearing an Avril Lavigne t-shirt.
I could live with that.
I know. I got to give him that. But, no, here's the question that I wanted to ask the listeners and you. Two things came to my mind. Either Billy Ray Cyrus is completely deranged and insane. I hate to go here, but this is how this works, people. Either Billy Ray Cyrus is completely deranged or insane, or he has a problem.
No. It's just that the royalties on Achy Breaky Heart have substantially thinned. And now, remember there was that great onion piece out there.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember exactly what it was, but I'll find it in a minute. Let me see. Hold on. I'll let Miley Cyrus. There was a great onion piece out there some time back. Come on, Onion. Work with me here. No, I don't want your stupid ad. Entertainment scientists warn Miley Cyrus will be depleted by 2013. Unless Americans turn to alternative sources of entertainment, the Hannah Montana star will soon be completely tapped out. That was the Onion. But you know what? As usual, the Onion is proven prophetic.
Yes.
By virtue of the fact that Billy Ray is out there lining up another Cyrus. Now that Miley has been reduced to a husk.
Well, you know, before I go, you just gave me.
I'm so ashamed of myself. I'm doing entertainment radio.
No. You just gave me an idea. Well, this is what I was telling you about how celebritism is causing cancer among our citizens by numbers we can't even imagine. We need to quarantine them, Bob, immediately. No, but
I mean, Jesus, this little child, Noah Cyrus, has enough makeup caked on her face that she looks like she's been gone over by a mortician.
You know, if Chris Hansen really does want to do some good, he should go to that designer label and say, "Are you Emily? Are you Emily? Can you have a seat, please?" But before we go, I just want to say this: you gave me a great idea for a reality show, and I'm going to get Billy Ray Cyrus's approval. It's going to be all good. It's going to be called "Pimp Your Tween." Pimp Your Tween.
Oh, you'll get a meeting. You will get a meeting.
I will get a meeting.
Just do the treatment, a little bit of storyboarding. You will get a meeting. And all of this, you know, okay, if the drive-by truckers are the patron saint band of this network, then certainly the gone but not forgotten Bill Hicks, peace be upon him, is the patron philosopher slash comedian slash prophet of this network. And do you remember, this is just a little throwback, it broke his heart as he was dying when David Letterman cut out his bit in his last appearance on the Letterman show. Letterman later apologized for it and ran the clip.
Yes.
And do you know why it was cut out? Because Bill Hicks, long before there was ever reality television, because remember, he died in 1994.
Right.
Bill Hicks came out on stage of the Late Show and said, "Hey, everybody, I just wanted to announce I've got a new TV deal. It's going to be great. We're going to have a show, and it's called Let's Hunt and Kill Billy Ray Cyrus."
Yes, that's right. That's right. And unfortunately, we didn't follow his advice. Good night, everybody.
Jiminy Christmas. You know, I've got a soon to be 13-year-old daughter. She's my youngest.
Yeah.
And we went through the Hannah Montana Miley Cyrus phase.
Oh my God.
Complete down to the little microphone that works with your FM radio and the little blonde platinum Hannah Montana wig. And I'm proud to announce that we have passed that phase.
That's good.
But it was
Is
awful.
She in the Lady Gaga phase now?
Oops. You go to blazes, David.
No,
but Agnes is.
Oh, my God.
No, they are in their Lady Gaga phase. Well, you know, when they find time to not listen to moody songs about vampires. Am I going to catch hell if anybody hears this?
Well, you know, I do find it very ironic that there are a lot of heterosexual males who are very homophobic, who do play Lady Gaga songs, and it's almost like you want to go to them and say, "You do realize that what you're listening to is Euro pop drag queen music, right?"
Don't ruin it for him, David.
I won't. But I just had to share that story with you.
Oh, I know, and there's ELO in the chat room. The minute I mentioned Mr. Microphone, ELO types, "Hey, baby, we'll be back to pick you up later." We all remember the commercial on, what was it then, the Superstation TBS?
Yeah.
Mr. Microphone. Oy.
Well, Bob, as always, it's been a pleasure.
And I'd say it's been a joy, but it's been something besides. You made me go to the pop culture world.
I didn't want to do. No, I did. I did have a prayer once. I'll have to save it for next week because it is rather funny. And I don't know if I've covered. I don't know if it's been covered yet. Maybe it has. If it hasn't, I'll have a fallback on that.
Okay, cool. David, right. Thanks a million.
Later.
Later. Well, you know, he gets serious for a while, and then he pops up with one of those and reminds us why, in fact, he is pop culture correspondent David from Maine. Now, let's just juxtaposition here, just a little juxtaposition here. Here we've got the baby sister of Miley Cyrus, who is going to be out hustling a kiddie lingerie line. On the other hand, you've got a group of concerned mothers who are got their maiden forms in a bunch over the fact that the Who are playing at the Super Bowl. Now I've got reasons to gripe about the Who playing at the Super Bowl. I thought it was I read a column earlier today that I thought was just spot the heck on. To the extent, you know, why are the Who playing at the Super Bowl? Could CBS not find anybody that was a little more culturally relevant at this point? And I love the Who, okay? But the Who are what? And the answer to the Who are what is really old. I fully expect to see Roger Daltrey behind a walker. And frankly, you know, Pete Townsend doing the windmill with the guitar, it's been done. But that's what we get? I mean, come on, anybody. How about the drive-by truckers at the Super Bowl? Now, that would be fun. But they might drop a few F-bombs, and that would be worse than Janet Jackson's nipple on any day of the week. But beyond that, there are a group of concerned mothers who are objecting to the Who playing at the Super Bowl because Pete Townsend was arrested for child pornography. Really? Well, what it turns out is that a few years back, Pete Townsend was literally researching his autobiography. He told the police in advance that he was going to be going to some of these sites. He didn't save any photographs. He didn't save anything. And the charge, but they popped him anyway, but the charges were dismissed. You know, as in he was not guilty. He wasn't even apparently guilty enough to prosecute. And concerned mothers don't want him performing before our impressionable youthuses at the Super Bowl. Yeah, right. Meanwhile, no word yet on concerned mothers being a little bit worried about Billy Ray Cyrus, you know, pimping out little Noah at 9 years old. Not so much. And this being Wednesday, and Super Bowl, and the Super Bowl having been pre-ruined for our inconvenience by the focus on the family, I want to share something with you before we wrap for tonight. And that is a piece from the New Orleans Times-Picayune by Mark Lorando. I don't think any city has ever been as excited about a Super Bowl as what New Orleans are about their beloved Saints being there. And so this past Monday, Mark Lorando at the Times-Picayune offered up the following, and it's just a beautiful little thing, and it's worth sharing. An open letter to the city hosting Super Bowl XLIV. Dear Miami, the Saints are coming, and so are we, their loyal, long-suffering, and slightly discombobulated Super Bowl-bound fans. But while there's still time to prepare, although a few hardcore whodats will be trickling in early, most of us won't arrive until Thursday or Friday, we thought we'd give you a heads up about what you should expect. First things first, you need more beer. Yeah, we know. You ordered extra. You think you have more than any group of humans could possibly consume in 1 week. Trust us, you don't. New Orleans was a drinking town long before the Saints drove us to drink. But it turns out beer tastes better when we're winning. Who knew? So let's just say we're thirsty for more than a championship. Adjust your stockpiles accordingly. And look, when we ask you for a Go Cup, be nice to us. We don't even know what open container law means. Is that anything like last call? It's carnival season in New Orleans. That's Mardi Gras to you. And we'll be taking the celebration on the road. So don't be startled if we throw stuff at you as we walk past. That's just our way of saying hello. Oh, and sorry in advance about those beads we leave dangling from your palm trees. We just can't help ourselves. February is also crawfish season. And you can be sure that more than one enterprising tailgater will figure out a way to transport a couple sacks of live mud bugs in a boiling pot to Miami. When the dude in the Whodat 2010, the National Football League All Rights Reserved t-shirt, asks if you want to suck the head and pinch the tail, resist the urge to punch him. He's not propositioning you. He's inviting you to dinner. And if you see a big Cajun guy who looks exactly like an old Saints quarterback walking around town in a dress, don't ask. It's a long story. We know that crowd control is a major concern for any Super Bowl host city. Our advice? Put away the riot gear. Reason number one. Indianapolis is going to lose, and their fans are way too dull to start a riot. Reason number two. New Orleans showed the world on Sunday that we know how to throw a victory party. We don't burn cars. We dance on them. Reason number three, even if we did lose, which we won't, leaving the stadium would be like leaving a funeral, and our typical response to that is to have a parade. Speaking of which, if you happen to see a brass band roll by, followed by a line of folks waving their handkerchiefs, you're not supposed to just stand there and watch. As our own Irma Thomas would say, get your backfield in motion. And hey, Mr. DJ, yes, we know you've already played that stupid Yin Yang Twins song 10 times tonight, but indulge us just one more time. To us, halftime, stand up and get crunk, isn't just a song. It's 576 points of good memories. It's the sound of a Drew Brees touchdown pass to Devery Henderson, a Pierre Thomas drive for first down on 4th and 1, a Garrett Hartley field goal sailing through the uprights in overtime. It's what a championship sounds like. You may get sick of hearing it. We won't. Encore, damn it. Inside Sun Life Stadium, you may find your ears ringing more than usual. We're louder than other fans. 7,000 of ours sounds like 70,000 of theirs. Don't believe us? Ask the 12th man in the Vikings huddle. Some people think it's just the dome that heightens our volume. But you're about to discover a little secret. We can scream loud enough to make your head explode indoors or out. It's not the roof. It's the heart. Well, okay, and the beer. Don't be surprised if there are more Saints fans outside the stadium than inside. A lot of us are coming just to say we were part of history, even if we can't witness it up close. The Saints are family to us, and you know how it is with family. We want to be there for them, whether they really need us or not, because we know our presence will mean something to them, whether they can see us or not. Come to think of it, seeing as how you're taking us in for the week, we pretty much regard you as family, too. So we're warning you now. If you're within hugging distance, you're fair game. Hugging strangers is a proud Houdat tradition, right up there with crying when we win. Most sports fans cry when their teams lose, not us. We've been losing gracefully and with good humor for 43 years. Tragedy and disappointment don't faze us. It's success that makes us go to pieces. So anyway, don't let the tears of joy freak you out. We're just disoriented. Okay, let's review. Order more beer. Throw me something, mister. Suck the heads. Wear the dress. Stand up. Get crunk. Hug it out. Protect your eardrums. Pass the Kleenex. Hoist the trophy. See y'all at the victory party. Faithfully yours, the Houdat Nation. How can you not root for that? How can you not? So, that's it for tonight's prayer meeting edition. If you're new to the program, shoot me a note. Love to hear from you. And if you are new to the program, tell your friends and tell your neighbors. We are having a fine old time here on America's Liberal Voice. Thanks, as always, go out to John Fox, to Peter Godbold, and to Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org. Saving liberal talk on the Internet, WhiteRoseSociety.org, since all the way back in 2002. Thanks to our chat room moderators, ELO, otherwise known as Sue, and Lottie. Thanks to our news ninjas, Gene and Susan, to our blogger, Texas Betsy. Thanks to all of you who hit the PayPal button and contribute to keep this experiment in unadulterated liberal media a going concern. Thanks for your phone calls, for your emails, for your participation in the chat room. God, ain't it wonderful. Thanks to the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, and coalriverwind.org. Like I say every night, and they prove every day, the hardest working, bravest people I know. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. We'll be right back.
Get on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Welcome to Wednesday. Welcome to Downhill to Friday, Hump Day. It's all of those things and so much more here on the Horn. But of course, you know that being the middle of the week, it being Wednesday, it being Hump Day, Downhill to Friday, all of those things, you know what else it is, don't you? Of course you do. That's right. That's right. Brethren and sisters, and I wasn't on the air last week because Wednesday was a travel day, as they say in baseball. I wasn't on the air Wednesday, but it's Wednesday, and I'm rat cheer, and glory, hallelujah. Yes, brethren and sistren, we are back for prayer meeting Wednesday. Glory! Hallelujah! I hope you enjoyed your fried chicken dinner down there in the fellowship hall. You know, the deacons say can't nobody fry chicken like they do down in the basement of the fellowship hall. It was some kind of good. And the cake at the end, I hope you all didn't take too many slices. You know, one slice only, please. But at any rate, let's get the minister of music around here to get us started with our opening hymn, if you please, brother.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen.
Amen.
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around. And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
Shamanese, ting, sing, tang, walla walla, bing, bang. Ooh, ee, ooh, ah, merci dotes and dozy dotes.